participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
God, I'm senile here. So if I said I never did drugs, that would mean I lie. Man, I'm close to going toe-to-toe with this whore. As they say in the hood, I'm down with that. You know, I'm going to sleep with Trixie tonight. I'm sorry I raped that lady. Look, I'm going to take drugs if I want to, and I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. And if my little 10-year-old daughter's there when I'm high, I don't care. If I have leprosy, I want me to be the only one that has it. When I was a younger guy, once in a while, I would go in and rent Cave of Lust. Young girl's dead. I'm responsible.
Okay. Oh, there they go.
Hold on. Oh, they lingered a little bit.
There they go.
Sorry about that.
Wow.
That was spooky.
Who was that? Who was that ghost?
Don't know. Don't know.
Strange sounding ghost. Sounds familiar.
DMW.
Mm-hmm.
Dead man walking. Well, suffice it to say, we'll have full coverage today.
Yes. Yes, of course. I think we should.
Of the DJ fake newsman scandal.
Mm-hmm. Big time scandal.
Yes. So, well, that's frankly why we have Nancy O'Dell in our stable.
Yeah.
And I do mean stable. In our stable of lovely.
Our stable. In our harem.
She's there.
Nancy O'Dell in our stable. Somehow that just sounds funny.
She's our lead lap dancer. Especially when it comes to a hot day like today when you're talking about. They'll have that on Accent Hollywood tonight.
Sure they will.
And then all of the disturbing details. Well, you're going to have to listen to the guy with the curly hair for that.
That's me.
Yes, sirree.
When we have Nancy O'Dell on, will LW be with her?
LW?
The lottery winner.
Lottery winner, Billy Bush.
Billy Bush. I don't know. But Buzz has got some crazy stuff.
Lots and lots of crazy.
Yeah, amazing. I've been reading so much.
I can't believe. Bill?
Young girl's dead. I'm responsible.
Right, okay. Oh,
I don't think it's that bad. I think he's overreacting.
Read that.
Bill, listen. Happy holidays.
Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh he's distraught.
Anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. And hello.
Hello.
Now.
Mel,
what's wrong?
I don't know, Mr. Shannon. I'm not feeling too perky today.
You sleepy after last night?
No, not sleepy. Depressed.
Oh.
I'm depressed, Mr. Shannon. I'm depressed like I am every year at this time. Oh. And I can't even find solace in the arms of Granny. Granny.
Did you have some medicine to make yourself feel better last night?
No. Maybe I should have.
No medicine.
Maybe no medicine, plenty of sleep, just a good old-fashioned depression.
There's frankly...
A big depression.
There's no polite way to put it.
There's no medicine for this.
No.
No
medicine for any of this.
Medicine would make it worse, maybe.
Medicine would make it much worse. The other night medicine made it better.
Until the next day.
Last night medicine did not make it... I didn't even go near medicine.
Were you yelling last night?
Yes. Early on, most definitely.
But then...
I was yelling at the woman with the curly hair.
Oh, Pedro.
Yes.
Looked like Red Fox.
Yes, yelling at him. Bye-bye. See you later.
Who's your daddy?
Who is his?
You know what it is?
Brought it on himself.
Mike, don't be offended because I'm talking to somebody else.
Yes.
Although I'm not. You got the raccoon eyes today. and those are the eyes of sadness.
Well, they are. They're sad eyes.
Yeah.
Maybe even
Where's
though...
Robert John now?
Sad eyes.
Sad eyes.
Sad eyes. I'm distraught. I'm bewildered. Watch that movie in the birdcage.
I thought you might be.
I'm mad. I'm depressed. I'm in a Red Sox depression I haven't been in a long time. This one hurts.
Okay.
I'll bet Mr. Shannon can cheer you up.
I hope so.
Mr. Shannon.
I've got something better than that to cheer up, Mike.
I hope so.
I was going to...
Well, I wasn't so depressed I didn't call you this morning, though.
That's true.
Don knows something else cheered me up. I was able to take my mind off it.
Mike, you stop it now.
I'll stop, yes.
You stop it.
I will. I will.
You're being bad now.
I'm sorry.
Very
I'll stop.
Bad.
I'll stop.
I think you need to learn a lesson from somebody. Please.
You go right ahead and make out in front of my 3-year-old daughter. Go right ahead and do that.
Yeah, I'm not listening to that guy.
Okay, now.
Who is that guy?
I don't know that guy. His name is Charlie M.
Charlie M!
Listen, I knew you would be depressed today.
Yeah, well, you know me well.
We cannot get Carl Yastrzemski on this show.
Yeah, he's had some family tragedies.
Even with all my jokes about Yaz is a fag and everything else, let's go through the list. Right now, as a pick-me-up for you, name your five favorite Red Sox players of all time.
Besides Carl Yastrzemski?
Besides Yaz. Who, incidentally, I make jokes about, but you know I don't mean.
Right. My five of all time.
Top three?
Boy. Top three. No, I can do five. I'm just thinking, because it's a very tough thing as far as my... I've hated so many of them.
Be careful what you say.
Okay, five of all time?
One of them may be on the telephone now.
All right. Well, my five favorites of all time. Will there be Carlton Fisk?
That's a good start.
He's one of my favorites.
That's a good start.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of another favorite. You're catching me on a very, very depressed day.
I want to say that you've already hit the magic answer.
I have?
Cool.
You knew him as Pudge, Mike.
We've got Carlton Fisk on the phone?
To cheer you up.
We don't have...
Hello?
It's Tom Gavitt.
Hello?
See, you're toying with me.
I'm sorry. You know,
you're toying with me,
you know,
and I'm most sensitive.
If I could have kept the poker face.
No. That's so hilarious.
I almost
cruel.
Had you.
That's too improbable.
I almost had you. I almost had you. I was going to wait until you got like...
is Kurt Schilling in the hospital bed next to you, Tom?
No. Hey, guys, just what?
What, Tom?
I'm coming out on Monday.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
You're getting out of the hospital?
I'm getting out of the rehab hospital Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you
hey, how about that?
Why are you coming in?
What?
Well, I'm not giving you a massage.
I know.
Mike already gave the massages, Tom.
Because of another Red Sox bet.
I know. Let's do another thing.
Let's do another thing, says Tom.
Yeah, let's do a Crystal City restaurant one.
he loves the strippers.
Look around, cafe.
Christmas in your restaurant.
What? I thought he said Christmas in your restaurant.
No, Crystal City restaurant.
Oh, I thought he said Christmas in your restaurant.
Yes. No, not O'Mara's. No.
No, Christmas City restaurant.
Thank you, Pudge.
Hey.
Carlton Fisk, one of the greatest catchers of all time.
Thanks, Pudge.
Watch it.
I didn't really know what name to toss out there. I don't know enough Red Sox guys.
Do you know, you caught me when you asked that question. I am so depressed right now. If you asked me to name the guys that I've hated, that's easy. I can rattle those five off immediately.
All right,
immediately.
Give me your top three Red Sox haters.
Top five that I hate?
Do you think that's
number
typical
one
on Sox fans to have Red Sox
yes,
that you hate?
Absolutely.
Than that you like?
Guaranteed.
All right, now listen, let me just explain this, and then we'll start the show here.
Okay.
This is part of the cycle that Mike goes through every year.
Mike's cycle.
I swear to God, it's like this is when Mike has his period. And here's the cycle. They always do something really great at the end. You know, they
but it used to be worse.
They fold.
Hold on. Let me stop you right there. And let me give them at least this credit. It used to be they'd do something mid-season that was great, and then they'd completely fold, and they wouldn't make it to the postseason.
Yes, now they've
the
got
pattern
better.
They're in now is that they make it to. In fact, they even make it through one round of the playoffs.
Which
pattern they're in
be,
now.
It used to be that would be enough to make you happy.
That would be enough. It's not enough anymore because they did it last year.
So,
and then something dramatic will happen to. Well, this isn't as dramatic as like losing a game at the last minute. But the injury to Kurt Schilling is the equivalent of that right now.
But right now, for any guy who's been with a woman who's been through her, thank God, this is what it's like for us here. Because Mike is emotional, his hormones are raging, he's angry, he's sad, he's up, he's down.
Right.
But
I'm not up and down.
No, you're down, right? Well, you know, like
he was up.
I am not a pleasant. I will admit, I am not a pleasant person to be around.
You're OTR.
The whole week, I haven't been OTR.
You are OTR on the RAG.
Yeah,
that's what you are.
Yeah, I am. You're
on it.
Yeah,
and you know, it's a cycle that will last here.
My wife enjoys it. Yes,
but May I tell you something for what it's worth?
What?
I'd still, if someone from Vegas calls, I'd still put $15 on your team.
Well, it's not like I'm not going to be watching the game tomorrow night. It's not like I won't watch the Yankees right down to the last out. I'll do it. And it's not like I won't go to spring training games next year.
But see, no, I will. Don't think like that. You're right when you say go to spring training.
Well, you're the one that was saying, hey, I feel like this is the year. I feel like this
that's
is
why
optimistic.
That's why I'm saying don't say go to spring training yet.
Anything can happen in
they
baseball.
They can still come back.
Anything can happen in baseball.
It's just the Yankees.
I just got depressed, and after two in a row, it's down. You're down. But, I mean, you get down, but you don't quit on them.
Down, but not out.
You never quit on them.
Right.
But I do quit on players, individual players. Sure. I quit on them all the time.
I'm
very angry at Pedro and his big mouth that he gave the Yankees that chance to bust his chops and then, pitched another mediocre game, as far as I'm concerned.
What about Jim Rice? Do you like him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Hello?
Here he is, Mike, on the phone.
Hi, Jim.
Now. Former Red Sox ace, Jim Rice.
Hey, Jim.
How you guys doing? This is Jim Rice from the Red Sox.
Jim, I loved it when you played. You had quite a stick. You played a great left field for us.
That's good.
How do you spell debate?
Debate? I don't know. Give me another one.
How about president?
Give me another one.
Pass.
How about show?
S-H-O-W.
Good. How about hey?
Hey?
Hold on. Hey now.
Hey now?
Spell
H-A-N-D-S-N-O-W.
Hands now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get retarded.
Well, he's never really been on the lines in this part of the show.
It's an interesting happening.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Don't come
on. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi
there.
Hi, Tom. Tom, we gotta go now, buddy.
Hey.
What?
Go to break?
No.
Right, okay, bye, Tom.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-865-3636. They're ready to believe.
It's the true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. And his expression of eyes.
Hey, Robbie?
Yeah?
How have you been?
How have you been?
Hey, it's look, we got Tom on the phone.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Rob.
How have you been?
Oh,
hello!
Oh, it's nice when company comes by. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Internet, and all the ships at sea. Now on a strict new policy not to accept personal phone calls.
Robot.
From Bill O'Reilly.
Right.
Dr. Ottimo. Good night. Oh, there.
Thank you, Robbie. And
hello,
everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Tony. Hi, Tony.
Okay.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there, and let me do it tonight.
A Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Thursday.
1-0-1-4-0-4. Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz.
No, he's not retarded.
Well, and listen. All right, Tom, it's been nice having you on the opening. We got to move now.
Hi, guys. Thanks.
Okay. Bye, Tom. Get well, Tom.
Ciao.
Quick.
There you go. Thomas. Aloysius Gavin. Oh,
always a pleasure.
Yeah. So,
wow, what an opening that was.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. The debate. We have something more important to talk about than the debate.
We do?
The internet spike, Mike.
Ah, yes.
We do. Although, let's see. Last night was not... What? Are you goofy tired?
No. No, I'm fine.
Okay.
Physically, I'm fine. I'm much better. It's much better when I have a happy night. If I come in here on a sad night, to bed, what a day. You know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, lift your spirits up. At least know...
If you don't think Tom Gavin lifted my spirits up, I mean, my God.
That should do it. In my humble opinion, Kerry beat him last night. Wasn't Kerry's best performance ever.
No, I thought he had a chance to maybe throw a few haymakers that he didn't take.
Right. But Bush is just such a dope with his stupid smile. And you knew Kerry was getting to him in two ways. When Bush goes to the water, when Bush gets a drink, something said that he doesn't like, and then he does the smiley thing.
The phony smile, and it's so obvious it's phony.
And
he should go back to the scowl.
Yeah,
what was great was the question is, should we raise the minimum wage? Kerry, for about 2.5 minutes, gives his thing. And then Schieffer, who incidentally was brilliant, Bob Schieffer.
I thought every single moderator, I thought, did an incredible job.
Yeah.
Schieffer was the best. The second question about the flu shot, that's a wild card question.
Total wild card.
It is.
So the question is, the minimum wage, should it be raised? What are we going to do about it? Here's Bush's answer. Education's important. And I'm looking at the TV going, hey, dumbass, that's not even the question. And I think at least one time Kerry said, you know, you're not answering the question.
Right.
And I was flipping between all of the networks, driving Frida crazy last night, trying to decide which network was really giving me the, if you'll pardon the pun, the fair and balanced, while they were speaking, which one was giving equal time to the reaction shot of the other.
Camera time.
I'm looking because they all were different. I finally decided, at least in my mind, NBC was offering the best. When Bush said something, you'd want to see what Kerry would say, they'd show it.
Right.
NBC gets done. I've already thought that Bush has won. They have what I think is a brilliant bit of spin at the end, and it's that tool Brian Williams. But here's his only job.
So you logged a little time with MSNBC.
No, this was still on regular NBC.
Regular NBC. Okay, I never watch NBC.
So here's his job. Tom Brokaw, you know, Brian Williams. Okay, it's my job to catch these guys in the lies that they've said tonight.
That's their new thing in Philly. Fact check.
But, yeah. It's great when they got the sound bite to go with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
and they all had that last night.
Because this was so beautiful. It was like something about Kerry said he voted on this. He actually didn't. Kerry said something. They go, and Bush, the comment that he said that Osama bin Laden is not important.
And then they went back to a press conference where he said he doesn't really care.
Yeah, to the clip, it was like, it was... Boom.
Yeah.
There's the clip.
Handy.
And I thought...
This is something that has evolved during this debate series. You've seen this start with, I think, maybe the second debate, where they went to fact check, because there were so many disputes, and then they decided they'd have one guy that was assigned to just getting the fact check. Now the guys that are assigned to fact check, it's that bald guy over on CNN that I watch. I forgot what his name is. They go to the videotape. So now, you know, they can't say something that's incorrect without it being called on it after the debate.
And also, I love the fact that Bush keeps telling jokes that
fall flat.
That he gives up on, but he thinks everybody gets them. For instance, Schieffer asks a question, phrases it in such a way that the news media has brought these topics to our attention. Bush says, and here's what he wants to say. Well, first, Bob, I think if you're citing the news networks as a source on this question, that perhaps you're not getting the most biased opinion of what really is going on.
And then he throws his traditional...
But he...
That's his laughing.
But now, hold on. That's the joke. That's the comeback.
Right. Is that a joke?
Or at least the comeback.
Right.
The comeback that they've given him is, okay, what you say is, well, now, Bob... The networks can't really be called unbiased. However, having said that, I'll move along and I'll answer the question. Mm-hmm. Here's how it comes out. Well, now, first off, with the networks, you know that thing with the networks. Never mind. And
he's big on making the dramatic pause and the dramatic statement while he says, well, I don't know where to begin. And when he takes his breath and he composes his thoughts.
And I promise I'll shut up in a second, but I just have to also mention, whatever the thing was that was in the corner of his mouth was driving me crazy.
I thought immediately that he might need, one or two pills a day.
And his insistence in pronunciation. For instance, did you have a nice day? I had a nice day. How about you? Yeah, my day's been pretty good. I had a nice day. You could also say, I had a nice day. It is a nice day to go to see a car wash. May I tell you something? If you speak like that, It makes you sound like a moron.
Well, they, you know, it's the same way Joe reads.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. As if to make it maybe more emphatic, but it doesn't. There was another great moment with the president last night when it was a reply. I think it was a 30-second reply. And he says, well, that was another one of his world-famous exaggerations. And then he pauses like there's going to be thunderous applause.
The debate has set the stage for a final sprint to the election. Like that.
Okay, that's and really the way it that's goes. That's a quote. Uh-huh. And also, if I could just say something as a football aficionado, mm-hmm. on behalf of Bush, poor clock management. And I don't mean that he went over. I mean that Kerry would say something, and Schieffer would go, you got 90 seconds. Bush would say, well, blah, blah, blah. That's it. And you look, and it's like the green light's still on, dude. Right.
Yeah.
Dude,
it's kind of, we're expecting him now that we can all see the lights, we're expecting him to fill their time.
You know, even if you've answered the question, take the extra 15 seconds to get one of your other bogus messages out there.
Right.
But it's like bad clock management when you see the quarterback go up to the line and you see the clock ticking and everybody's screaming, call timeout, and then finally he does. It's like they waste 15 seconds.
Well, I do like the spin meisters. You got Bush for Bush, you got Karen Hughes, and you got Mary Beth Cahill for Kerry. And those are two thick-necked women that I think could go into the cage match themselves. Oh. I think they could really. The spinmeisters are the ones that they kill me. And I watched all the post-debate coverage last night, and I'd never really logged any time with that Hannity and Combs, where they put that Hannity guy up, Sean Hannity, and then they bring this woman in, Alan Combs, and it's so obvious he's just there as you know. As a little puppet.
Don't you understand? On Fox, they're fair and balanced.
Right.
So they've got a Democratic guy on that show.
Sean
Hannity. They got a Republican guy and a Democratic guy.
Sean Hannity is literally, doing everything but knifing General Wesley Clark when he's up there. And the other guy is overlooking at this going, and I'm sitting there going, oh, come on. What
again,
the crap.
You know, you're watching that channel, though.
Well, I watch that channel. I watch all of them. I flip around and watch them all just to see, what's happening. And it seems to me there's almost too much of an effort on some of the other networks to make it fair and balanced, whereas you know what you're going to get. It's naked on Fox. On you know Fox, you're going to get that crap.
Anyway, it's a good show. You know, I said this to my wife last night.
It was a hell of a show this time around.
I said, really, I think if I was at a TV network, I go to both of these guys and I'd say, listen, however much, forget doing good. I give you guys like a couple $1 million. This is the next great reality series. That we really just, let's follow around Bush, let's follow around Kerry, let's do it like American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're great. It's a great show. I know it's serious and the topics are serious, etc., etc.
And now Bush is, it looks like he was kind of gluing himself to John McCain last night. Coming to the back of the plane on Air Force One this morning, he did that with McCain. And their faces were practically cheek to cheek.
Yeah, and listen, low blows all the way around. Although I don't think low blows for Kerry for bringing up Cheney's lesbian daughter. And I'll tell you why. I've seen Cheney. Dr. Evil, I've seen him interviewed, and the only moments that he even appears to have a beating heart is when he does describe his love for his daughter,
right.
And when he, in essence, says he's for the rights of gay people to be married, not like man and woman, but to have the same rights. He just disagrees with the president on this.
Right. You know, the Republicans are making this an issue today, that they think that this is a completely low blow, that this was a political strategy.
No way, it's
name.
A fact.
Everybody knows that Cheney's daughter is gay. They brought it out. I thought Kerry
and
was pretty,
she's beautiful.
I think on that particular issue...
she's even prettier than the girl that's going out with Cynthia Nixon. Bill Parcells.
I think it's a tie. Mary Cheney. And they were pretty... I thought Kerry gave a great answer after that, but today they're coming out and saying, oh, he brought that up just to embarrass... They're trying to be...
No, it's a
they're
fact.
Trying to say that he did it to embarrass the president and Dick Cheney, and they're trying to do it without appearing to be homophobic, which is very, very difficult
very
to
tricky,
do.
Very tricky, yeah.
Anyway, it was a good show. I scored it, that Kerry won.
Kerry won, I think, bigger than he did in the second debate, and I agree with most of the polls.
However, I want to say this. I still think that Bush has a chance because...
Oh, sure.
Because,
oh, my God, yes.
Because there are so many people out there who I know by... Listen, here's the one thing I'll give him. I think he's entertaining as hell.
I already said I think the guy should get his own show. He should get like an Osborne show. Mm-hmm. I'd pay to watch George Bush really unplug. Like if he lost the job, what he'd really do.
Right.
I'd love it. Mm-hmm. But having said that, my only criticism of Kerry is that I thought a couple of times I felt like he was speaking from the heart and looking right at the camera. And I don't buy this crap about being presidential. I want to see some passion from the guy.
Right.
And the one thing that Bush can do, even with his dumb twitches and his smiles and his rolling of his eyes, you know, when he gives his dumb, slow message, he at least does it in a sense. You know, it's almost like a football coach, you know. We're going to win the game. A football coach who would not know how to win the game.
At the very end, when they were talking about their wives, I thought it was, Bush with a slam dunk. I really thought
he
did that. But, you know, on all the issues, and Kerry's obviously the better debater. But, you know, you're right. When Bush gets down that down home kind of.
I mean, that's kind of where he is.
And hey, you know what? I read the polls, and this thing, we're all going to be having an entertaining night on election night.
And I don't know about the rest of you, but I am already, depressed because, frankly, I have now worked this into my life, such as to be the off-season American Idol.
Mm-hmm. You enjoy the debates. You could use two more.
We're
going
to miss it. Yeah.
I would like this to be a regular weekly show.
They should. They should have weekly debates up until the election.
From September up until the very end. And, you know, maybe you do like the reunion show halfway through. You wheel out Gerald Ford and all the other guys. And
sure, you have old presidents debating. That'll be president.
Season's about over.
You have old presidents debating.
Prezo dance.
Well, I like it because I think the country, for the first time since I've been an adult, is paying attention to the system, and I think we're going to have record voter turnout, and I think it's going to be a very interesting election.
And I know that Bill O'Reilly has a lot to say about this.
Oh, he does.
He's
on that network.
What he talks about.
As you know, he's one of these guys. He has that show, The No Spin Factor, right?
Mm-hmm. The No Spin Zone, he calls it.
Yeah, The No Spin Zone, I'm sorry. Right. Here's Bill. Now, he's got some thoughts on the debate last night.
Mm-hmm. I'm gay, so I want, you know, gay marriage, so I can do X, Y, and Z.
Well, now that doesn't sound... Maybe I had the wrong one.
Well, they did talk about gay marriage.
Yes, they did.
Hold on. Here we go.
Hey, Dick, you're a moron.
Well, now that...
I thought he was
speaking
about
the Vice President?
About Dick Cheney.
Yeah,
it
had to be. Yeah.
I think so.
He says he's very fair and balanced.
Oh, yeah. I am so boring.
We're going to see to it that you die.
Wow.
Oh, now... Okay, all right, just one more statement from... Anything about the debate, Bill?
Yeah, I'm on my knees most of the time.
Wow. Join us again for Out of Context.
That's it. So says you, Mike.
So say you. What say you, Don?
That's the name of that tune. Buzz, yeah. How'd you score the old debate, though?
I think, in my mind, a slight win for Kerry. I thought Bush did very well last night. Like Mike, I wanted to see Kerry come out a little bit stronger. I'm not sure he did, but on a technical victory, I believe he won.
And Rob?
I think Kerry won a lot. He did a lot better than the polls said so.
Yeah, he was pretty smooth last night.
Particularly, he finished strong, he's very well-spoken, and he did appear for the first time really human in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, hi there. Less Herman Monster.
Less monster, more human.
Human monster.
Human monster.
Human monster.
But I think it's going to be a horse race right down to the finish. It's going
to
be great.
So to speak.
A horse face race.
Right. Okay, so that's... Oh, here we go. Thank you. That's that. As I mentioned, there's a much more serious thing that we got to discuss right here.
Right. Yeah, we got problems here.
Right here in River City.
Really?
Where things are normally just like utopia.
Happy. Yeah.
Here at Radio Infinity.
Yeah, whatever.
The the deal is that Tony Diggs, our chief engineer.
Hello. Picardy Limon.
Steps in the office today and says, guys, I know you're in the middle of a meeting, but I want to ask you something. We said, sure, come on in, Tony. And he says that there's a problem in the radio station, that the internet that they use back in the part of the building where they schedule the commercials and everything's on computer now, that the internet is drastically slowing down between 3 and 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. when we are on the air.
Uh-oh.
So, and it's happening at such an effect that it's shutting down the computers in the building that need to be doing work.
Yeah, the computers that they use in the traffic department, which is how we schedule our commercials.
And traffic, it doesn't mean like driving in your car traffic. The traffic department, as Mike said,
they traffic the commercials that get on the radio, and they can't do their jobs on the computers because something is slowing it down.
Hmm. So, Tony says, what happens between 3 and 7? Do you, like, download movies or something? I said, listen, first, Mike hardly ever goes on his internet. I go on mine during the commercial breaks to show the boys something, if there's something I'm interested in. Right. Occasionally we ask Buzz to look at something.
Right.
I guess Beth Ann and Joe are on theirs. But beyond that, I can only think there's a guy sitting upstairs in the dump room who's got... Listen, we run a pretty clean show now.
Yes.
I mean, I hit the dump button 3 times in 2 weeks.
Got a lot of free time. His hands are free.
And it would show up between 3 and 7.
He might be very busy. There's only one person we can think of that's actually using it.
That would be Travis Bickle.
Travis, who done?
Travis Bickle, Mike.
And we love Travis.
Bickle rhymes with tickle.
Mm-hmm.
And Travis should be on the dump button right now in case something bad was said.
You have to take his hand off the mouse.
Well, now, he can certainly do both things at once, can he?
You've reached the WJFK business office.
Hold on, here's Joe.
What's up, Joe?
Well, what's happening, Joe?
Joe.
All right, come on in, Joe. Joe?
Take your time, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Travis isn't here today.
Oh.
Oh, where is Travis today?
I don't know.
Do we have a home number for him?
Ooh, I know he has a cell phone, but I don't know his number, but we could find
out. Who's running our little dump button today?
I don't know.
Well, sounds to me like Casper the Friendly Ghost is
sorry, it's
here.
Not an important position. I feel safe once again in the land of the land of idiot.
They got you covered, Mike.
Don't worry, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, make sure someone's on the... Who's on the dump button, Beth Ann?
Lisa.
Okay, good.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we have to call Travis on his cell phone.
Now, who has Travis's cell phone number? This is the question. Because, hold on, let me call Tony Diggs first to find out exactly the type of spike that we are dealing with. Because we're talking about, he said, enough to shut down all the computers on one side of the building.
That's
right.
That's a lot. So we are assuming. Now, what does that? That can be done...
I think it starts with P and ends with O and has O-R-N inside.
You've reached the WJFK business office.
Oh, come on. For God's sakes. Let me just...
Do you know your party's 3D?
Oh, shut up, Dan. We'll just call Colette. Oh, we do have Travis... Thank you, Beth Ann. We do have Travis's cell phone number. Try the engineer first.
Hello?
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike. We're looking for Anthony Diggs.
Okay, hold on.
Bacardi Limon.
Yeah.
What up, Dan?
I want to find out exactly what the problem is.
We do have Travis.
It's a spike.
And he showed us the chart.
The engineer.
He showed us the graph, which
wow.
Was amazing to look at. It looked like one of those lie detectors when the big spike goes up there.
Or like a stock market. If the stock market crashed,
it's amazing.
Came back. He's not there either. So the question is, if Travis was playing games or watching porno,
right,
would that eat up so much, no pun intended, would that eat up so much space?
Video might. Moving pictures.
Okay, right. Well, let's try a cell.
Do-do.
Travis.
Travis.
The man, Travis.
Travis is crossing the state line right now.
On the run.
Oh, God. What if he just said it like on jugs.com all day?
Go to scatnumber.com. He's not answering his phone.
Oh, but we have a cell phone for Anthony Diggs as well.
Hello.
Hold on. Hey, hi, listen, you're on the air, Travis. It's Don and Mike.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's happening, dude? Sorry to call you. Is today your day off?
No, actually, I worked a little different schedule today, and I got off at 2 o'clock.
Okay, got to ask you a question. Like I mentioned, we're on the air. Do you look at and listen, I've got no beef with this, again, no pun intended. You look at a lot of porno or download movies when you're upstairs on the dump button between 3 and 7?
I've looked at some, yeah.
Do you do different things like play games and stuff? Do you spend, are you on the internet for the entire time that we're,
pretty much the entire time, yeah.
Pretty much the entire time.
3 to 7.
What would be the average content when you're surfing the net? What are you involved with, Travis?
We're not trying.
Honestly, I look at a lot of entertainment-oriented stuff, like various movies and stuff like that.
All right, listen, we're not trying to bust you on if you watch porno or not. Here's the deal, and this, I swear to God, this is
not... Do you download movies, Travis?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've
Okay.
Not movies, not like full movies or anything like that. Clips. I've downloaded little clips and stuff before.
All right, previews clips.
Okay, dude. All right.
I believe we have our answer.
All right, thanks. All right, bye, Travis.
Okay.
I'll put in a good word for you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Travis.
Not movies.
No.
Now we just have to call Tonya to get the actual percentage of spike that happens between 3 and 7 of the show.
That was a real tough investigation, wasn't it?
Thought we'd never get to the bottom
of that. That was very, very tricky. I tell you, we're really CSI Miami here, aren't we?
You can't fool us.
We're the original CSI Miami.
I believe Rob was in the office and mentioned Travis, and then we all looked at each other and went, guilty.
Case closed.
Right. It's Travis.
I was 2 minutes long.
All right, so now let's call Tony and
Bacardi Limon
and ask him exactly what the percentage of the spike was, as I'm going to call it now, the Travis factor.
All I know is
Tony
Diggs.
Tony. Hi, Tony. Tony Diggs. It's Don and Mike, and we're on the air.
Hey.
Hi, listen, we figured out it is Travis.
Yeah, he's looking at movies, Tony.
On the Internet. But what we'd like to know, if you could explain to our listeners, like you did to us, what is the percentage, the spike in increase of Internet usage between 3 and 7 as opposed to the hours before and after, the percentage that's screwing up the computer system?
Between 92
and
100%. Wow. A 100% increase, Tony. And that's an entire building, an entire business, the entire day.
Tony, here's what we need you to do, Tony. We need you to go into Travis's computer, not for the purpose of spying, but for the purpose of deleting all of his cookies and history. I think Travis would consider that a huge favor.
Travis has confessed, Tony. We have found our culprit.
That's probably true. We were actually talking about that.
Yeah, I believe.
And as fate would have it, he has admitted to not being there today, so I can run the same snapshot tomorrow, and we'll see if it shows up on that.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
That'll be nice.
I guarantee it won't be, nobody's on there right now, because nobody answered the phone up in the dump button when we called a moment ago.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, see, thank you, Tony.
Okay.
And Tony, would you just say Bacardi Limon, please?
Bacardi Limon.
There we go.
Bacardi Limon.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony Diggs.
Okay.
Tony Diggs, great engineer he is. A-D. T-D. Anthony Diggs, Tony Diggs.
Travis cracks me up, though. Yeah. Entertainment-oriented material.
And didn't you get the feeling that we were calling like at the food court of a shopping center? I mean, that was the sound in the background, like a cafeteria type sound.
Right. Oh, that is too goddamn funny. That is too goddamn
really,
funny.
Tony comes down and has a serious meeting with us before the show. You know, the engineer who never does. Seriously, slowing down the progress. Right? We can't do business between 3 and 7.
And then he shows us the chart. Absolutely hysterical.
Like, oh my God! It's like beep 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 beep.
Well, sorry, we're unable to use our computers because Travis is enjoying his lifestyles program.
This will be a stinging blow for Travis, and I suggest we get him some books and magazines.
I believe, yeah. Buzz, you could help him in that department.
I could. I will.
Remember, he's just downloading clips.
That's
yeah,
right.
Just previews, clips. Not whole movies.
He's just a man, flesh and bone.
Not whole clips. It's like an adult bookstore up in that room.
Not an unusual amount.
That's exactly what it's enough to get him by.
I know. Do you remember when Daryl worked here? When Daryl had the entire locker full of porno.
He had a suitcase, used to bring it to all of us.
We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This voice said, Zool. And then I slammed the refrigerator door and I left. That was 2 days ago, and I haven't been back to my apartment.
Generally, you don't see that kind of behavior in a major appliance.
The Don and Mike Show. Is it the Don and Mike Show? You bet.
But thank you, Dude Walker. Let's see. Courtney to Jim here in a second.
Very good.
Yeah. I mentioned Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood about this incredible story about Bill O'Reilly.
Wow.
Incidentally, I'll be there tonight at the Support Bill O'Reilly rally.
Amen.
I'll be right there with you.
I'll see all of you there.
Very good.
Just one more. A word from Bill O'Reilly.
Good.
Yeah, I want to go on the record. I'm standing up for Bill O'Reilly. Bill?
I believe in beating a child.
Yes, comments from Bill O'Reilly.
There he is.
I'm not supportive. That's right.
So that's today. And we got the Friday favorite, which we moved to something right there.
Yes.
And
it's gone now.
No. It's in between my Adam's apple and my tongue.
Does it have legs?
I can swallow it.
Uh-huh. Is it something you could see on Fear Factor?
Mm.
Swallowing won't help.
No.
Perfumes just cover it up.
I'm not.
And who has the time to soak?
I'm not swallowing.
I could tell.
I'm not. She was filling
oh,
up.
God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Like a softball.
Joke.
Sounds like you're purging.
Kidding. Joke.
It's a cold and flu season.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Allergens are causing him to expectorate.
Yes. High levels of pollen in the atmosphere.
No, the truth is, I won't hide it from you. I was purging. I was binging and purging.
That's how you lost all the weight.
Damn it! I had 87 bites of food yesterday, not 85, and it's been driving me crazy.
That's right, but you're looking stunning.
So, like I said, Nancy O'Dell, and we've got the Friday favorite on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, we're jam-packed. We'll have Charlie Casserly from the Houston Texans.
Charlie Casserly, Don.
And then Rich Eisen also, because it's Football Friday.
Yeah.
And we'll have Charlie Casserly say something witty that we can play to Rich Eisen.
Very good.
Like a message from those two guys. Mm-hmm. And also, Beth Ann wants you to know that crazy billionaire Mark Cuban wants to come on the show Monday. He has two things to talk about.
Excellent.
First, he loves the late-night replay of our show in Dallas on Live 105.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Second, he wants to explain why his show is a failure.
Not really.
Okay, very good.
Guy,
I bet he has a good explanation.
The guy has bullet points. He wants to come on the air to explain why the Benefactor sucks.
Okay. All right. Absolutely.
All right. So that's that.
Very good.
And then there is my brother Jim.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, I mentioned a while ago that he's going through a medical thing. I don't know today if he wants to bring it up or not.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'll leave it, you know, like Bobby Brown and Sidney Spears, mm-hmm. I will leave the prerogative to him.
It's his prerogative.
Apparently. However, he is up for a segment of According to Jim.
According to Jim.
Everybody, of course, loves According to Jim with Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
It's like the number one rated TV show of the week for ABC.
Yeah, such a good name, we decided to steal it.
So now, instead, it'll be According to Jim's Source, who is, in case you don't know the background of this, my brother, not my blood brother. We were adopted when we were kids. Our scumbag parents never told us we were adopted, even forged the birth certificates, and to this day, I still don't know who my parents are.
Mm-hmm.
He knows who his are.
Mm-hmm.
It ruined our relationship with our parents, but it made he and I closer.
Right.
And anyway, he couldn't be more different than me.
He likes trucks. That's what he does most of the time. He's a trucker. He likes hunting. He likes. He's worked at a porno bookstore.
Remote control boats.
He was an elk hunter.
And he settled down, it seems.
Yeah, he's married with kids.
Loves women, yes.
He's got a lot of kids. In that regard, he's got a lot of... I mean, he could be in the NBA. He's got so many kids. He's got kids in lots of cities.
He's a long...
There, there he is. Here he is,
Jim.
Everybody, the star of According to Jim.
Yay!
There's my real-life brother, who I love, Jim Stewart. I mentioned that... Because you're adopted, and because I'm adopted, that's one question people ask me a lot about you. Is that your real brother? And I say, well, yes, he's really my brother, but
sure he is.
But we're adopted, and which could be why we are so different.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, so alike. So, dude, what is new? What is new? What is new that you want to talk about on the radio?
Nothing.
Okay, so nothing?
Nothing right now.
Nothing yet. Okay. All right, you get back to me when you want to let go with any of the other stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, I can do that.
Having said that, because my brother's got some pretty meaty issues on the table that,
well,
he's dealing with.
Hope everything's going okay. Yeah.
Besides,
yeah, everything's fine.
Good.
Besides, you know, there are other, as I mentioned, NBA issues besides,
mm-hmm.
you know. Anyway, listen, Jimmy, here's what I think we all want to know.
What?
You live in an undecided state, Wisconsin.
A battleground state that is probably one of the primary battleground states in this election.
It is.
First off, are you voting?
Probably.
Well, I think you probably have to be registered by now, don't you?
I'm registered.
So you're a registered voter and you're leaning towards...
We registered about 2 months ago.
And you're leaning towards voting?
Yes.
Excellent.
Why would you not vote?
What might keep you?
Why would I not vote? Maybe because I wouldn't care.
But do you think you care this time around?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
19 days before the election year.
All right, so now, this is the first thing on According to Jim. According to Jim,
Who's the better presidential candidate and why?
I'm leaning towards Bush. I think he's done a pretty good job over there in Iraq. I think Kerry is a wuss on that.
Remember that thing I said about Bush making his points?
Yeah.
Right here. Remember, I preface this. I love him with my whole heart.
Right.
But he's that target audience.
Mm-hmm.
Next question.
How about your bride?
What about her? She's leaning towards Bush, too.
Okay.
And I don't know why.
Did you watch any of the debate last night?
About 20 minutes of it.
About 20 minutes. According to Jim, who won the debate last night and why?
From what I saw, I'd say Bush.
And why?
I can't remember.
the sense you came away with.
All right.
Right.
Here's another one for you. The death of Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that.
Thoughts on that, according to Jim.
I don't know. If he's probably in a better place, man. He was pretty messed up.
It's interesting. He's better off.
According to Jim. Jim.
What?
As they chase for the cup in Nextel.
Okay, I haven't watched the last three races.
Mm. But still.
Who do you like?
According to Jim. Who you like?
Gordon.
Jeff Gordon always.
Jeff Gordon.
Any reason?
I've always liked him.
Yep.
Isn't that good enough?
Good enough for me, John.
Okay, it's according to Jim.
Can I ask him a Mount St. Helens question?
Please do.
Jim?
Yes.
Mount St. Helens getting ready to erupt. Your thoughts on it?
Let her blow.
Now, keep in mind, you have, much like the debate last night, you have 30 seconds to answer each of these according to Jim's. However, you may use the time however you choose. Rob Spiewak.
Yes. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. That's not the question, though. What about the flu vaccine?
What about it? I've never had a flu shot.
You've never had a flu shot?
No, Mari gets them. She gets them every year through the county, but this year the county's not giving them out because of the shortage.
So your thoughts on the shortage?
I don't use the flu shot, so it doesn't matter to me.
You usually
They should probably give it to the people that really need it the most. Mm-hmm. You know, but that already have problems. You know, and they could get deeper if they catch flus and pneumonia and all that. But me, I don't care.
See, in that time, good for you, you took up all your time.
Thank you, Jim.
Oh.
Now, let's move on. Let's move on, shall we?
Sure, absolutely.
Jimmy.
What?
According to you.
Yes.
JPS.
Yes.
James Phillips Source.
You just cracked me up.
Phil the Pill.
Uh-oh. Just don't call me a moron.
Dummy.
Those are all the names. Those are all the names that your dad and my dad, our dad would call us. James, I know you're past, Jimmy, you're past the date, but if you could dress as anyone for Halloween, according to Jim, who would you dress as?
Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon?
Mm-hmm. Jeff Gordon.
Yes. Like you'd wear the jumpsuit and all that?
Yes, I would. Yes.
How about
the only thing I am lacking is the helmet that he has.
How about your lovely bride? What would she go as?
I couldn't answer for that.
Well,
let me just say Elvira.
Elvira.
Buzz, you got
yes.
one?
Yes, for this question, Jim, that leads us to this. How do you feel about the idea of gay marriage, according to Jim?
Oh, I disagree with it.
And why?
Why, Jim?
Because I just don't go that route. Buzz, don't even start me on that.
Go ahead, Jim, if you're
right. I don't agree with the gay marriage.
This is why it's
important. I don't agree with it.
Why?
Because I just don't. I think a man should be with a woman and a woman be with a man, not men and men and not ladies and ladies. No, I don't agree with it.
What about giving them rights to like share property and things like that?
I don't know. I wouldn't. If it was up to me and I was in the country, I wouldn't.
All right.
May I ask a follow-up?
Please.
Yes, follow-up, Rob Spiewak.
Is homosexuality a choice?
Very good question.
Mm-hmm. According to Jim.
Or is it inherited, genetic?
You think people are born that way, Jim, or do they choose?
Are you predisposed to it, or do you make a choice?
I don't know that much about it to make a call like that. I would say they're probably born with it.
Born with it.
All right, very good.
Born with it. All right, if I might. According to Jim.
Okay.
What is the most fun way to kill an animal that you are hunting?
A bow and arrow.
A bow and arrow. And why?
May I ask why?
just the thrill of it. You got to get really close to shoot it with a bow. You know, you got to go undetected.
What if you miss?
If you're lucky enough, the buck will run a couple feet, stop, turn around, look at you, and you can probably knock another arrow if you're good enough.
The buck stops there.
Right. Yes.
Hey, I have one more.
Sure, Mike.
Since we're on the subject. Since we brought up all the issues from the debate. Jim, stem cell research. How do you feel about stem cell research?
I don't know enough about it, but don't they got to go in and do something with the fetus or something like that, or abortions and all that?
Yes.
Okay, no, I don't agree with
it. Let me follow up then. Abortion, according to Jim?
Let them have an abortion, as long as they stay within them guidelines, you know. I don't know, what is it, first term or something like
right,
that? I don't
right.
know what it is.
That's
you
right.
know, as long as they stay within those guidelines. I don't see what's wrong with abortion.
My time was out on that one.
Very good.
Jim, if I might ask you now, this was a question, and I know that it affects you. Last night in the debate, are we safer now than we were on 9/11, according to Jim?
I don't think we're safer, but we've given up a lot of our rights and freedoms already for what we're at now, but I don't think we're that much safer.
Hmm. And who's to blame for that?
Government.
Who runs the government?
Who runs Border Town?
Bush and all of his other people.
Uh-huh.
I think Bush, you know, I don't know, I believe that the president's just a puppet, really.
For who, Jim?
What do you mean?
Who's pulling the strings?
Oh, all of his advisors, all the rest of the government, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Robbie?
That's the way I feel.
May I take a different tack?
Sure.
Jim, please describe to me your favorite recipe.
According to Jim, my brother.
You get some deer tenderloin, you throw it in a pan, slowly raise the heat a little bit with some butter, you know, brown it just a little bit, you put in some fresh garlic, a few other little spices that I keep secret.
Okay.
So it's herb butter.
Just, beg your pardon?
Nothing.
And, all right, I've got one for you, James.
Yes.
Jimmy.
Hey.
Jimmy.
What?
Do you own the Jaguar still?
Yes.
What makes
what
a
makes?
Jaguar the car of an Esquire? You know what I mean. What?
Why do you love the Jaguar?
Why is the Jaguar the choice of consumers who care? Why is it a choice of an elite man?
Of the discriminating buyer?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike. The discriminating buyer.
Cool car.
Pardon?
It's cool. You know, it's really cool. Everybody looks at it when I drive by. I don't know if it's because they like the car, because I'm blazing down the highway or what. Everybody looks at it. Everybody says it's a nice car.
That leaves me
with... Everybody I know says they wish they had one.
An important one. According to Jim... What should the national speed limit be?
85.
85?
Yeah. On the interstate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What about in towns?
Oh, there's a lot of places, man, that they could raise it up. You know, they got it 30 miles an hour, it's four lanes of traffic.
Right.
No houses around. It could be at least 50, 55.
Divided, yeah.
And you're feeling in school areas, what should the speed limit be?
School areas, 15 miles an hour, you know.
All right. There you go.
Very good.
Straight. Straight butter, baby.
He's a straight shooter, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Jim, here's an easy one. Red Sox or Yankees?
Red Sox.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that, Jim.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yankees have won it so many times, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
They're like four times in a row now?
Yes, they have.
There you go. Let the Red Sox take it.
Yeah. All right. Very good. I wish the Yankees would say that.
Yeah.
Let me see. You know, hold on. I want to ask you another one. Jimmy, please be telling us about your thoughts. The guy that went into space, I forgot his name. We had him on the show. The pilot.
Melville?
Mike Melville.
I think that's it. Mike?
Are you aware of that?
I heard a little bit.
What does?
Mike or Tim Melville, yes.
It was Mike. Right. Jimmy, your thoughts on men going into space who are businessmen, they don't work for NASA.
Hey, I think it's great. I think it's awesome.
Why?
It shows everybody that just NASA and the government don't have the technology to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point.
Now an important one that we are.
Let's commercialize it like they want to do it. All the other plans, you know, let's take bus rides up to the moon and stuff. That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
I got a wild card for him.
Really? Would you like to take a bus ride to the moon?
A bus ride to the moon.
It was the name of Jim's album, wasn't it? His album, A Bus Ride to the Moon.
I have a wild card for him.
Okay.
Jimmy?
What?
Your thoughts on the NHL strike?
Oh, I don't have any thoughts on it. I don't watch hockey.
No, but you got to fill your time here.
Make something up.
Hey, what are they striking for? More money? Get your ass back and play.
There you go.
Yeah.
And true that more money, they're making enough as it is.
And Jim, television, what, in your opinion, what's the best show on TV, according to Jim?
Well, I've been watching American Chopper a lot lately.
There you go.
I've been watching that American Casino, too.
That's a shock.
Excellent.
That's a shock. Oh, now listen, I know you were married in Las Vegas. Jim,
yeah.
What makes Las Vegas America's playland?
You just can do anything. Anything, anytime, anywhere.
Anything, anytime, anywhere.
Yep.
What about the food?
Oh, food's awesome. But we didn't hit all the good places, though. We didn't have enough time.
And, Jim, I think Mike asked you a question about food. Rob did. What's your favorite dessert?
Cheesecake. Strawberry cheesecake.
Good. Strawberry cheesecake.
There you go. All right.
He's American as strawberry cheesecake.
I'm out.
I have one more.
Okay, Robin.
Please tell me about the last great movie you saw in the theater.
According to Jim.
What was that Robert Redford movie where he got sent to prison? What was the name of that? That was the last movie I think I saw in the theater.
With James Gandolfini?
James Gandolfini?
Yeah.
The Ice House?
A couple of years ago, wasn't it?
No, it's like something castle.
Yeah.
That was the last castle. That's the last movie you saw in the theater?
But was it great?
It wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah.
He evaded the question.
I know he did.
According to Jim, what's the best thing about the Olive Garden?
The shrimp scampi and all the breadsticks.
Good answer.
Yeah, that is a good last question.
Winner.
Way to go, Jimmy.
And what do? They treat you like family?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, I watch a lot of TV.
You gotta love advertising in America, don't you?
All right, Jimmy. Well, listen, have a safe weekend. Thank you for joining us on According to Jim.
Okay.
Right, America got a good look to hear, it makes no sense, about what you're all about.
Amen.
All right, dude. Well,
have a good one.
Any parting words of wisdom?
Party hardy.
Excellent. You be careful, okay?
All right,
I'll talk to you later. I love you. I'll talk to you.
All right.
Bye.
There he goes. That was a wonderful segment of According to Jim.
He's got lots of opinions.
Yes, he does.
That's a shock. He's for Bush.
Well-formed opinions, too.
You know, and I've tried to explain it to him.
You can talk to him, can't you?
During the last election, I said, you understand, Bush wants to tax you. The people who make the most money, said, I don't care.
Right.
Likes Bush.
Yeah.
Likes eating his
venison.
Likes driving his remote control cars.
He sure does. And he knows his way around the Olive Garden, as he proved.
Yeah. He's pretty great, isn't he?
He sure is.
He's real. That's
your
brother. And now your phone calls. Here you go. 877-365-3636. Anybody can call these calls or unscreen. From Canada, 800-636-1067. In D.C., 202-432-1067. For the phone scan.
Oh, Jimmy, we hardly knew ye.
According to Jim. That's good. And like Bush last night in the debate, a lot of times you'd be, no.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
no.
Just like Bush, that country charm.
Yeah.
Those piercing eyes. That ridiculous smile.
Similar minds.
I think my brother might be the winner at Stratego. We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hundreds of them. This calls for strategy. I'll have to put on my thinking cap.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get away.
one for you, monkey face. That dope shop is plenty for all. Here you are, slant eyes. Everybody gets one.
I agree.
Well, that's that.
Oh, just one minute, Joe. Just one minute, or you don't get away from me. You wait.
I got the free one.
Believe me, sweetie face, it's a pleasure. Business is booming.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Happy hour.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Baker's Science Building.
Okay. Broadcasting live from downtown Dumbass, the Don and Mike Show.
I'm such a whore. Tomorrow, Rich Eisen's on the show, brought to you by Tower Records, Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of music than you love.
You tried to get it all in there.
That counts.
That does.
That counts.
Yep. You did it.
Tower.com. Okay, phone scam. Let's do that. 877-365-3636.
Okay.
You are being very bad today, Mike.
I am. I'm feeling randy.
You are. Hello.
Randy.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Let me just say how odd it is when I have to turn to Mike to say, hey, you know, ixnay. You know, well, you're on dangerous ground now, Mr.
I know.
Pagoli.
I know. I am.
Although
I,
with what you were with that.
You concur?
Yeah.
I knew you would.
Of course. I think people miles away can concur on that.
Amen.
I think dogs.
Yeah.
Don't dogs have a great sense of smell?
They certainly do.
Yeah. I would imagine dogs are smelling counties away.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And enjoying themselves.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
It was a lovely visitor just walked past the hall.
All right, now let's move on, shall we?
Okay, this is
very
good.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Hey, I was wondering. One of my friends said that you owned a bar in Manassas. I was wondering if this was true.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
I own a bar in Manassas. It is true. The name of the bar is my last name.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Don calls it the Look Around Cafe. And someday we will put a sign up to that effect.
Goodbye. Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Great first plant caller.
Yes. Good job, Mike, really. Well, it goes this way, okay?
Uh-huh.
I could spend money for advertising on the radio station.
Why?
Or I could
Why?
Just gather my friends around to say, every day on the phone scan, first caller, make it a call about the restaurant.
I love
the
Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Don and Mike?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I was calling to talk about your restaurant, too, Mike.
Ah, see, it's two. You're supposed to call tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Me and my friend about 3 weeks ago drove 2 hours to come up there and eat, and I have to tell you, it was worth the drive.
Listen to this. Oh, that's the extra one. This guy. I scheduled him for Friday.
Something extra in his check.
You don't need to call with those calls. Please, you're embarrassing me. There's no need for that.
Hello.
Radio gods.
Hi there.
Pleased to be explaining your new opening theme. Is that actually sung by the Black Eyed Peas? Is that a parody?
No, that's sung by the Black Eyed Peas.
That's them.
So they did that special for you?
No, that was the version that they originally recorded, and the record company said, we can't release a record that says, let's get retarded in here. So they said, well, how about, you know, I'm sure some
white guy
yeah. said, how about, let's get it started in here. But yeah, if you buy the record, it's on the record.
All right, very apropos, guys.
All right, thank
Great
you.
Yeah, for this show it is.
Right, hello there. Don and Mike Show, hello.
Especially today.
Hello. Again, hello.
Don and Mike.
And see, here's just a perfect example of how that song fits the caller.
Mm-hmm. How have you been?
I've been well, how have you been?
Right, what do you want? Hi there.
My mom knows I listen to your show, so she was down in D.C. and actually caught some on JFK. And I guess when you were spoofing your website, SeattleLovers.com, she got interested, so she checked it out, and it scared the crap out of her.
Literally.
Yeah.
So to speak. All right.
Wow.
That's a funny call.
That is a great call.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Just wanted to wish Mike good luck in his club championship.
Thank you very much. I mean, you know, did I talk about that?
No. You know what? Listen, now,
That's even spookier.
Okay, Mike, it's one thing to plant the calls, yes, about your restaurant.
They all called today, and I said to the other guy, I said, listen, just to give it some balance, talk about my incredible golf game.
Hello. How did Mike
Boy, you know, I came in here in the worst mood, and it's vanished.
Hello. Don and Mike, imagine that.
It simply vanished.
Hello.
Two calls about that and one call about that, and bingo bango.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Happy go lucky me.
Yankees are a strike away.
What?
Here's the 1-2. He struck it out clean. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
It is nice.
And then Arnold saying, that's nice.
Hello there.
Yeah. Don, now you're happy,
no,
right?
No, yeah. No, I'm not.
Now it's like balance.
I'm,
yeah,
I'm not happy.
Thanks for pulling for the team.
I'm rooting for your team.
Yeah, right.
I am. What do you want me to do? I watched the game last night.
Oh, look at the joy in your face with that call.
No.
Every single solitary second.
No, you just need a little balance there. It was, you know, hey, Mike, your restaurant's great. Mike, your restaurant's great. Then the plant call. Hey, Mike, your golf game's great. I mean, what's next? Hey, Mike, I hear you're quite the swordsman in bed. You just needed one to just bring you back to the reality. Crappy reality that we all live in.
Yeah, it almost did, but I'm still happy. Good.
You were in the rarefied air that I call being Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Being on this show and being Buzz.
Mm-hmm. You mean I experienced a little buzz taste there because of those good calls?
Buzz joy.
So I had to be brought back down to size?
Let me explain to you how it goes. You don't know how good you have it on the show.
Can I just tell you, though, I needed those calls badly today.
I know.
Probably more than I've needed them in a while. Now, listen, my life is fine. I'm a happy man. I'm okay. But last night, I was telling Rob during the break, I have not been in a good way all week. You know that. You picked up on that. It was good to get those calls temporarily. I'll snap out of it, but this sucks. This sucks. Being me this week sucks.
Well,
I really haven't enjoyed myself.
Well, you've been marvelous on the show as always.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Right back at you.
And you know, just so you were in rarefied air there,
mm-hmm,
for a few moments. Because listen, I know this is how it goes on the show. Everybody loves Buzz. Buzz is everybody's favorite.
Of course, he always has been.
And Mike, you're right up there. People love you.
Of course. Now, there are certain people that hate me.
And Rob, some people hate you, but some people like you. But it's unanimous, they all hate me. They all think that I'm the one that shouldn't be in the room.
Now, people are going to think you're throwing out quite the fishing lure there.
No, I'm not, because, and here's how I know. There will not be those calls pouring in for me. If anything, people will be calling and saying just what I'm saying. You're right. We hate you, but I want to tell you something.
But look at you.
But I want to tell you something.
Yes.
For even though you have, in my opinion, already this great position,
mm-hmm,
where, generally speaking,
yes,
the callers and the listeners of this show like you.
Yes.
They love him.
They do love him.
And for a few brief moments,
mm-hmm,
there,
mm-hmm,
you were breathing the rarefied air.
Yeah, the rarefied air.
That's my point, that he breathed.
Buzz air.
You had those three calls in a row.
And what you're saying is you'd like a sniff yourself, huh?
Oh, listen, that sniff is long gone.
No,
I
don't know. You're wrong.
That sniff is long gone for me. I'm just saying to you, enjoy that rarefied air.
If people knew you were the puppet master who animated their favorite characters,
no,
they would love you.
Buzz, now listen.
If people knew he was the Merlin.
Now listen, yes, here's the thing, Buzz. Who doesn't like Buzz? How often do we ever get a call, except for the ones that piss him off, like with the news?
Rob, there's a guy. Right. Rob doesn't like
Rob
me.
Rob was raising his hand.
Rob doesn't like Buzz.
Right.
He's all right.
Everybody loves Buzz. And Mike, everybody loves you, but for a moment
everybody does not love me.
For a moment, you almost got up right there with Buzzy. You had those three in a row.
But you will admit your slip of the tongue. I'd alert you to many of the calls over the years we've been together. Okay.
I know. Yeah.
I do not feel the quan on a daily basis.
No, that's true.
Yes. I mean, we are included in that. But I would agree that, you know, you being the straw that stirs the drink,
yeah,
you don't sniff that buzz air.
That's why, and that wasn't my point. I'm not looking for that. I'm not going to get that. I'm
you might get that.
No, and listen, don't, or I'd be disappointed in you listeners. However.
Well, what will happen if you do, you'll simply push them away.
Yeah, correct.
You want to embrace them like Buzz and I do.
And I mean embrace them.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, right, and you know what he did right there? That's why you all love him so much.
Because
he said, and I would embrace them.
And I mean embrace them.
Okay, and you know what that means? Uh-huh. To all the women listening.
And the gay man.
Hey. Maybe Buzz would sleep with me. Out of everybody on the show, Buzz is the one that I'd sleep with anyway.
Keep Pope alive.
But you know, it's harder...
God, don't isolate that I just said that.
It's harder to be hated, though. Because it doesn't mean you're taking the path of least resistance.
The easy way.
Does.
The easy way. That's right.
Rob, in the path of least...
Be proud. Be proud to be hated. I always have been.
You were said it.
Through elementary school, right until now. I did okay in kindergarten, but right about second grade.
You want to be loved,
but only by one.
That's right.
Hello there.
Don and Mike.
Yes, I.
Love you all long time, except you, Don.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Don.
Much appreciated. Yes.
Don, I have bad news for you. I didn't know if you knew this, but I heard the other day that Coke is discontinuing Diet Vanilla Coke.
Now, come on. You are either jerking my chain or this is another hate call.
I don't believe
it. I'm a very sad person because I heard it from a good source, guy in a store.
Oh, a guy in a store.
A guy in a store. Well, can we follow up?
I find that hard to believe. I know that it's revitalized the industry, and as a matter of fact, I know too much about this. I know that Dr. Pepper is now coming out with a vanilla diet Dr. Pepper.
And Pepsi has one.
And yeah. Coke's coming out. Not only are they keeping cherry, they're coming out with cherry vanilla. So they're keeping vanilla, they're keeping cherry vanilla.
And here he comes, Joe, after the last bite once again. What was it?
What were you eating,
it
Joe?
Was candy. It was just a mint.
It was a mint. Okay.
can't fold him. In the amount of Diet Vanilla Coke that you buy alone, Don?
Yes.
They would be insane to discontinue it because I have trouble finding it sometimes.
I recommend people buy stock.
Can I tell you, listen, thank you for the false alarm, but they're not going out of business. Joe is fantastic. Joe keeps my beverages here at the station.
Joe is the beverage master. I mean, if you need a beverage, first of all, even if it's a hard-to-find beverage, Joe will find it for you. It is, and I rarely compliment Joe. It pains me to do so, but he's great at that.
So I give him, like, $40 and say, go on, whatever the amount is, a relatively large amount of money for soda pop. Mm-hmm. What he does is he scours sales, and then he'll say, hey, I found the 2-liter bottles at Walmart. I bought you 87 2-liter bottles and crated them all inside,
yep,
where they are all stacked up on the wall in Rob's office.
You know, incredible. It says on the bright side he has a hard time finding it, but what you don't know is he's looking in the bakery. He just can't find it.
No, he can find it. And how many cans do we currently have?
Well, I mean, we started this week with the fresh batch. You have 240 cans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And the true story this week, when I came down the aisle, the guy was stocking all different kinds of Coke products right off the pallet. I looked down. I saw the Diet Vanilla. I said, are these going on too? And he said, yeah. And I said, let me save you some work. And loaded, there were 10 of them in there. I put them right into my cart. I got to the front. It was one of those sales where you could only buy 5. But fortunately, I go to the store all the time, so the girl hooked me up. I bought all 10. 3 days later, went there again. Same thing. It was on the shelf this time, but 10 more, carted them up, talked to the girl to let her...
See, now what we're doing is hoarding now. We're taking it away from other people. But thank you, Joe. I appreciate the effort.
Like you said, they'd be insane to discontinue it based on your consumption alone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Garrison Ardinger.
Thank you, Garrison. Join us again at this time on the show for story time.
That's right.
Prairie Tart. The story of Don's beverages.
That's just a Prairie Tart companion.
I believe everyone was looking out the window in the last 30 seconds of that speech.
Even me, and it's my beverage he's buying.
You have a vested interest in this, and you were drifting away.
Luckily, I go there all the time.
She hooked me up.
And then the second time, there was 10 more on the pallet.
Yo, Garcon, let me save you some effort.
Are those going on the shelf?
We're listening.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, it's my son's second Halloween, and I'm going to dress him as Superman. I'm not sure if he
should... Hold on. You know what? And the moratorium on these will end tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, we have some groaners, and we have some classic Christopher Reeve jokes.
Okay,
a tribute. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, once again, please, especially on the topic of Christopher Reeve, leave the driving to us.
Amen.
You know, just to give it another day.
Sure.
Just another day. We got a lot of the great ones. The O.J. one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show. What was the other great one?
Well, the one that we liked on Make Us Laugh.
No, but Rob and I were looking at 5 or 6 of them before this.
Oh, that one. You're just going to play him?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio gods, how be it?
How have you been?
How have you been? Where's Jim from?
My brother, he lives in Wisconsin.
Well, I'm from Wisconsin. I just moved to the D.C. area.
He lives in the greater Milwaukee area.
Ah, I lived in Madison, so.
Right.
Thanks for stopping the show for me.
Okay,
thanks for helping. Hey, we got some perceptive callers early in this phone
That's
stand.
Pretty good. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Okay, stop it.
All right, you got enough.
There are more German guys. Leap over the counter and pound me.
The finger factor.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
I can't stand Buzz Burbank. He's too much a loose cannon.
That's right, I am. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah.
Bill Garcia calling.
Oh, you remember Buzz, don't
sure,
you?
I never forget.
Always remember. Hello, Don and Mike show. What was that?
You're on.
Were you just... Is this guy blowing the phone?
Just testing. Remember, an engineer one time yelled at me for testing a microphone like that?
Yeah, that's bad.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, got a quick question for you, but I got to get something off my chest first.
Yeah.
It's pronounced room and roof. There's two O's there. It's not O-U-M, O-U-F. It's not rough and room. But secondly, what is your champagne of e-licking?
Okay, now, first off, I had to delete out the last part of
that
question.
What's the deal with the room and roof and all that? What the hell is that?
This guy just wants to correct me.
A lot of people say roof instead of roof.
I don't know. Yeah. The guy was
does anybody in this show say roof?
The guy was trying to bust my balls, and apparently I do. And then he...
What, you say roof?
I don't know. I may have. Who knows?
Tear the roof off the sucker?
Mm-hmm. People hate me, Mike.
Hey, leave him alone.
But then he asked a valid question about something that happened on my anniversary, but...
We
can't air that now.
Right. Tingly.
And the answer is, whatever the cheap stuff is that they gave us in the room.
The colder, the better.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don, I was wondering, what's the status on your wedding band? Did you ever find it?
You know, hey, listen, can I say to you people, thank you for the love.
Me?
Thank you.
This guy loves you.
Just needed someone to ask.
I never found it.
Oh. But you know what? Look at this. Look what I got. You know what this is? I don't even know if you remember, Mike, two or three times ago in Las Vegas. Or no, you weren't there. Robbie.
I remember.
It's when you and I hit it real big
in
the casino, and I was so drunk that I went over to this jewelry store in the casino. I said to Rob, I'm going to buy a ring. You know, it's like I'd won $1,000. And the ring that I'm wearing now, which is my fill-in wedding ring because I lost it, really it's probably worth, I don't know, maybe $150. I was so drunk.
Is it silver?
Well, it's going to turn green very soon.
Yeah, similar.
Yeah, anyway.
So that's your replacement ring.
Yeah, I was so drunk that I went with Rob. I said, that looks like a ring that like Robert De Niro would wear. I got $1,000. How much is this ring? You know, okay, sir, it's $1,000 exactly.
Oh, so you bought it.
So I bought it and then got home and showed it to my wife and said, look, I won $1,000 and look at the ring that I bought. And she said, that's a piece of garbage. and I just put it in my drawer, but now it's my spare. Thank you for asking.
There you go.
And you know who sold you that ring?
Who?
Charlie M.
Charlie M. sold in the ring. Don't make me be a bad guy, Don. That's where they get you out in Vegas. You win a little money. Oh, yeah. You had a couple of drinks. You walk around. You buy a piece of garbage. Right. You made me pop your eye out for a backup ring. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, you skinny bastard.
Hi there.
Hey, is that baseball player that recently died, would he be included in the death trifecta with Rocky
and
Chris?
No, he would not. He would not. However, if our friend Dexter Manley kicks, that could start a new trifecta.
An athlete trifecta.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to call, and I'm a little late on this, but great interview with that Extreme Home Makeover guy.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a good feature.
Yeah, that was fun.
Great.
It's never too late for love.
What?
Let me tell you, I'm all 100% guy, but you watch that show, and you can't help but weep like a little girl, I'm telling you.
All right, I'll see you later. Bye, homo. Hello, Don and Mike show.
That's why they hate you.
I mean, valued listener.
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I would like to say that Tom Gavin smells fabulous. And yet...
Now you've gone
too far.
There's
another word we can't use.
My God, potty talk.
I don't know. Listen, haven't you people figured out the show's changed? Just a sassole?
Come on. This is not the O'Reilly Fact.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hello?
Hello, phone scan.
Hey, I just have to tell you guys, Absinthe is the best.
Absinthe is the best. Rock on.
Is that a great call right there?
Yeah, right. And we got that Absinthe show.
Hallelujah. Y'all, Absinthe show. Hi, Don and Mike. Hello.
Oh.
We can't take any more calls because everybody hit the delay button.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Everybody's working.
We could wait. No, we can't wait because I want to talk to Nancy O'Dell about Bill O'Reilly.
Good news is the internet's working.
Hey, hallelujah.
Yeah, well, Travis is not here today.
Travis is down at Best Buy.
Now, listen, it's very important that we give away a prize because we have sponsors and stuff. So
right.
Now, while we wait for the delay to build up, please stay tuned for this important political message.
Don.
Yeah, oh, the phone just went back on.
Ah.
Listen, hold on. Are you the guy that said the bad thing?
No.
Hold on.
How did this guy get on?
Yeah, he had to be the same guy. Here you go. Here's the phone scan. Hello?
Hello, how are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing great. You're the last person on the phone scan.
All right. I just want to tell you both, I love you both equally, and sometimes Mike gets on my nerves, and sometimes Don gets on my nerves, and that's why I love you guys equally.
What about Buzz?
You always love Buzz, don't you?
Does Buzz ever get on your nerves?
Not really. He doesn't.
See, Mike, that's what I was telling you. It was
perfect.
It was that rarefied air you were breathing.
I know.
How about a hug?
How about a knuckle sandwich? How about a protein shake? Listen, I know. How about an egg?
Uh-huh.
You know, all the things. How about a tight sweater?
Right.
How about bodybuilding? How about everything you do that we don't do, Buzz?
How about a cereal, DS? Delicious.
To be honest.
I ate it all up yesterday. I loved it.
Mike originally said that Buzz should name his homemade cereal DS after dog.
Right. Yeah.
However, I don't think you mentioned this on the air yesterday.
I ate it. Buzz gave me a bag of it, brought it in for me, and I ate it dry without any milk or anything. I ate it yesterday. It was fantastic.
And look what it did to your Red Sox.
I know. It was bad luck.
It's thanks,
my
Buzz.
Fault. Thanks a lot, Buzz.
Hey, listen, what's your name?
Jen.
And where are you from, Jen?
Hanover, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful. You have got, from HBO, the complete first season of The Wire. That's a box set on DVD, a gritty, electrifying new breed of cop show from HBO. And do you like the wrestling? Do you want the pay-per-view?
No, thanks. I'm not into that kind of thing.
All right. Well, then enjoy the Wire, honey. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Hold on just a second. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is a perfect chance to get you kids some nice church shoes.
What do we need church shoes for? Jesus wore sandals.
Well, maybe if he had better arch support, they wouldn't have caught him.
The Don and Mike Show. Ready to pick you up and shake you in a figure eight. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
I don't even have time to tell you about the office romance here. And I'm not talking about the Bill O'Reilly thing. I'm talking about another office romance.
Really?
Tomorrow's episode.
Oh, my God.
Oh, just a hint?
You're killing us.
Okay.
Just a tiny hint.
A tiny hint that you'll never get.
All right.
Beth Ann McBride.
Okay. Thank you.
That's all I want to say.
Very good.
Plus, tomorrow, I think we're going to finally reveal the Buddha Mouse picture.
Buddha Mouse!
Remember we had the singing psychic on the show, and she told us that Walt Disney had this grand plan. Walt Disney, dead Walt Disney, came to her and told her about a plan to change Mickey Mouse into Buddha Mouse.
Buddha Mouse, another Disney feature.
Well, she sent us the picture that Walt Disney, dead Walt Disney, told her to draw.
Yes,
and
we were amazed that something that non-creative could have lasted so long.
We have not unveiled it yet. Oh, Robbie, check to see if that is Nancy.
Nancy? Hey, hold on a second for Donna.
Ah, see now.
Ah.
Here's where all the work pays off. Here's where you sit through the stuff about J-Lo and Christopher Reeve. Today's a day when it's hitting the fan. Let's go right to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Accent Hollywood. Accent Hollywood. All over America. Accent Hollywood. Here is Nancy O'Dell. Hey, Nancy.
How have you been?
How have you been, Nancy?
Wonderful. How are you?
We are great. We must know tonight on Access Hollywood, how all over this Bill O'Reilly thing are you going to be?
Do you want to guess?
Yeah, well,
you know how you always like to guess the stories that are going to be on Access Hollywood?
That's got to be, hold on. That's got to be the number one thing. Because let me see what I've got.
All right.
I've got stuff you'll never have. Not that it's so great, but it's just the bottom feeder stuff.
It's our style.
Katie Couric broke up with her boyfriend.
Yeah?
Al Michaels, you believe that? That big puke got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Really?
That's part of your Hollywood rundown?
Yes. Lance Bass wants to go into space, and Richard Gere got screwed by Regis and Kelly Lee.
Really?
That's all I have. But I knew you'd have
big stuff there.
I knew you'd have the Bill O'Reilly thing.
Oh, of course we do have the Bill O'Reilly. It's not our lead story, believe it or
not. What is your lead?
Our lead story is about Paris Hilton.
What's Paris Hilton up to?
Supposedly, you know, on the heels of reports that there's the new Paris videotape in which she allegedly calls...
Is this about the N-word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the boyfriend of Misha Barton, Brandon Davis, is speaking out and calling her a racist.
Oh, boy, that's a big controversy for her.
And from what I've read about that, it's typical Paris Hilton.
He allegedly is speaking out. He's quoted saying that, yeah.
Right.
And her quote is something like, I didn't know that it was like a bad word, and it's like a funny word, and you know, I know she doesn't talk like that, but
right.
That's so good for you, see.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgy.
Well, I'm telling you, between that story and the Bill O'Reilly story,
yes,
which actually the woman is demanding millions of dollars, like $60 million from him.
Now, listen, I want to try to be objective. I don't like Bill O'Reilly's radio show, but I I've said this before, I think he's a good broadcaster.
Like
Rush Limbaugh is, and Mike and I have been in situations where, you know, anybody can sue you for anything and say anything.
Absolutely.
So, as much as we're having fun with Bill O'Reilly, there's a part of me that thinks, you know, Jesus Christ, this woman's probably, it ends up being his word against her
word. Well, and there's speculation
against
all over.
Lawyer's words, too. Well,
yeah, that's part of the problem.
But there's speculation all over this story. Is there speculation that maybe she had a tape recorder because there's so much detail in these allegations?
Without giving away your story tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Give away your story tonight.
I'll give you a little bit of what we talk about. Because in the papers that were filed yesterday, Macris accuses Bill O'Reilly of creating a, quote, sexually hostile work environment, which she claims included phone calls in which he just detailed sexual fantasies. Those are her claims. And, you know, of course, her attorney was on the attack this morning. And then we have papers obtained from the Drudge Report, which show that O'Reilly may go back and file a suit of his own, claiming that Macris and her lawyers are using, quote, blackmail, pure and simple, in an attempt to extort $60 million in, quote, blood money and destroy his reputation.
Right.
So we've kind of got the whole battle going back and what one is saying about the other and what she's accusing of him of and his response to it all.
And here's the thing about O'Reilly, and this is why I think it catches at least my attention. He's a DJ, he's a broadcaster, but he's one of these guys that's built himself up as to being, you know, the perfect guy.
Well, kind of the moral authority.
The unflawed guy.
Right, and that's dangerous territory.
And that's what's killing him. That's what's going to kill him on this thing. Even if this woman is full of crap and all of her charges are false and maybe they talked on the phone and maybe he whatever, but still, he's a guy that gets on the air and I've heard him, you know. Have you ever heard his rap, like, about, no pun intended, with Jay-Z?
Mm-hmm.
You know, about what it means to the kids. You can't be talking about doing this kind of stuff. And I was brought up Catholic. This is not the way that life.
He does come from a pretty sanctimonious place, and especially when he's on subjects like rappers in America. So I think when a guy's like that, people pay more attention to it when there's some of these allegations.
So how much...
I think it's true. I think anytime anything like happened to Kathy Lee, that people pay more attention to it. You know, they kind of wanted to... Because she put the reputation out there that, you know, everything was great, glorious, and stuff. And I think we definitely believed her about all of that. But then they're more willing to come down hard on him.
You just said two very bad words on the radio.
I know.
What did I say?
You look in the transcript and you'll figure it out.
Yeah. Study it.
But never mind. You're okay. You're cool. You're FCC cool.
Absolutely.
So,
be honest.
So once you get past Paris Hilton and the N-word and Bill O'Reilly and this lawsuit... You got to just sit back and, like, pop open a Colt 45 and say, man, the day is done, right? I mean, that's, without being harsh, that's a pretty great day in the entertainment world, right? I mean,
well, it's just a lot of, you know, back and forth between what everybody's saying, he said, she said, a lot of, and that's, you know, that's where it gets confusing. You only hope that the court system can rule out everything that is correct.
But you put that with the Paris Hilton. That's a pretty good 1-2 punch. I'm saying, for my money, you could do those two shows, and then you could stand there and say, all right, good night.
See ya, we're all done. Is there anything else jumping out in Hollywood?
Well, we have that, and then we have big Oscar news.
Oscar news!
Just, signed as their host for the first time. He's a first-timer.
Who?
Chris Rock.
Oh, excellent. That's fantastic.
Now, that is great. First off, it's not Billy Crystal, thank God.
That is great news.
Billy is the host, but I think Chris is going to be incredible.
That is great news. I think he's so good live, that's going to be fantastic.
Now, you just dropped the bombshell on us. Mm-hmm. That's a freaking bombshell.
You like that one?
Yes.
Well, I also think the Oscar telecast just went up a few ratings points. Yeah.
I think people are going to love it. Yeah, they air February 27th. I mean, he's so friggin' funny.
He is. He's, oh, look at you. He's so friggin'. Oh. You're coming out of your shell.
We like you. Nancy, we're turning you into a shock jock.
I can't even say a bad word. That's my version of a bad word.
All right, go have a good show tonight. We'll watch you, everybody. It's Access Hollywood. It's either at 7 or 7:30, wherever you live.
How have you been?
How have you been? I will talk to you tomorrow. And tell Bushy we said hello.
I will.
All right, bye, Nancy.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. See, today's the day. There's no time for fooling around with her.
No.
No pun intended. You want to get right down to it.
Although we don't like to.
And I think, how long has she been on the show? A week?
Yeah, about a week.
Coming out of her shell.
Yeah, she's it's a total comfort zone right now.
There you go.
Sure is.
Nancy is comfort.
And that's something we didn't know.
Buzz,
the Chris Rock.
Don't be sorry, Buzz.
I just enjoy the Nancy O'Dell.
Yeah, because you're like a walking commercial for Musk. Don't worry about it. Not like a walking commercial for Jock Itch. And no, I didn't know that about Chris Rock
either. That's great news. I mean, I'm looking forward to watching the Oscars.
Did anybody in this room know?
Nope. Did Nancy scoop us?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, very good.
She got us.
Glad she's here.
Now listen, about Regis and Kelly.
It does seem like a natural progression after head of the state, though.
You know, that has to be one movie that Chris Rock looks back on and says, man.
Well, Chris Rock has a couple of movies that weren't exactly.
Yeah, but Head of State is the worst Chris Rock movie.
Yeah, it's the one with Bernie Mac, too, and I thought that was going to be a smash hit.
Mm-hmm. Now, listen, I want to get this, mention this. You're not going to read this or hear this in an entertainment story. This is a behind-the-scenes TV story, which has not even gotten headlines yet. You'll hear about it in the next couple of days. It's on Tuesday. Now, I happen to be a fan of Regis and Kelly. You know that. I watch that show every day.
Right.
It was especially good today because Regis is having health problems.
Oh, dear.
And Kelly keeps...
What's the matter with him?
Kelly keeps saying, bring out the paddles.
Oh, really? He's got his ticker again?
And it takes him about five times until he finally figures out what the joke is.
The paddles is a defibrillator.
And then he gets offended.
Oh, really?
Oh, dear.
Then he gets all...
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
So... I watched the show. Here's how I watch Regis and Kelly. I watched the first 20 minutes because there's nothing better than live TV.
Mm-hmm.
Then if they got a good guest, I'll leave it on. But otherwise, I turn it back to, you know, Rich Eisen or whatever show I'm watching. I didn't watch when Richard Gere was on their show this past Tuesday. Now, here's how it appears to be and what happened on the show. Tuesday was the day after Christopher Reeve died.
Mm-hmm.
So they start the show, and Regis comes out, he holds up the newspapers, and it's very sad. And they have a serious discussion about Christopher Reeve and how awful it is. And then they do their dumb trivia, and they say, we'll be right back with Richard Gere. Now, what they didn't tell you, the home viewer, and this is how they screwed Richard Gere, they taped the interview with Richard Gere a week earlier.
Oh.
Now, while they're interviewing Richard Gere, he's got his hand in a cast. Regis says, how did you injure yourself? He says, I fell off a horse. And then he says something like, but it's a light sprain. And he says, quote, hold on, I gotta find the quote. Here it is, right here. So he says he breaks his wrist after he falls off a horse that was bucking him.
Mm-hmm.
So then Regis says, were you thrown off the horse? Richard Gere says, Regis, real men are not thrown off horses. Now, this airs after they've already done the opening segment.
Oh, those idiots.
Talking about how sad this is with Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm. And they give it no thought.
No, this is where Gelman on that show, screwed Richard Gere because this was an interview in the can a week earlier.
Wow. Right.
He's got a cast on his friggin' hand. He's coming out talking about how he got thrown off a horse. He says something out of context. They could have gone back and cut that part out of the
show. Sure, easily.
But they didn't. And now, if you read that Richard Gere said something insensitive about Christopher Reeve...
He didn't.
Know that that's the true story of what happened.
Right. And he had no idea. Is he mad? Is Richard Gere mad about it?
Yeah, he's having a press conference later this week.
Is he really?
And also he's mad that Regis and Kelly has billed as live and that they tried to fool people.
Mm.
And, you know, now that I think about it, it should have been obvious. I didn't watch enough of the show to realize
right.
they were probably wearing different clothes.
I'm sure they were. They do that when they do their vacation shows.
Right. So anyway, that's good for Richard Gere.
Wow.
And say that because, you know, God knows he suffered through that hamster thing.
And also, I thought it was a gerbil. I thought he actually...
Is there a difference? I mean, you would know.
Yeah, it's,
what? That was a low blow. So, no. Wow.
That was a low blow.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. That hamster lived.
For a few hours.
I was happy, little Benji. I was very happy with it. Now I've completely forgotten what I was going to say.
Okay, also with Regis. In New York, they did a survey, Educational Housing Services. What they did, they went to kids in college in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They said, who do you want to be your roommate? Now, on the Regis show, he mentions this to Kelly Ripa. He says to her, congratulations, they did the survey, and you were the number one choice of all of these college kids to be their roommate.
Mm-hmm.
Regis didn't mention that on the list of celebrities given to college kids... Kelly Ripa was number one with an astounding 42%.
These are men and women?
Men and women.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That would like these famous New Yorkers to be their roommate.
Makes sense.
Kelly Ripa is number one, followed by Conan O'Brien.
That'd be fun.
Jon Stewart.
I don't think it'd be fun at all.
David Letterman.
Oh, no.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Sean P. Diddy Combs. Jerry Seinfeld. Derek Jeter. Jennifer Lopez, Mayor Michael Bloomberg,
God.
Tony Danza,
ew,
and in last place with one vote, Regis Philbin,
Regis Philbin.
Gave him less than 1%.
How are you? I'm moving in. Where do I put my suitcases?
Okay, and then
God, you're cute.
this is something that's almost too funny. To be real. I got caught with a Geico commercial today.
Okay.
Maybe you've seen it. It's one for a reality TV show called Tiny House.
Yeah, where they're living in the tiny house. I was caught. I was caught three times in a row by it.
I'd never seen it.
It looked exactly like a real reality promo.
And I actually, for a moment, thought, would I watch this for a couple of episodes?
Right.
I mean, it's a 30-second commercial.
Because the guy's getting mad, and it looks like he's really raving out in the house. It's fantastic.
It's two people that are living in a tiny house, but it's an ad for Geico. So, having said that, this sounds like a joke idea, but this is a real idea for Oprah's dumb Oxygen Network. It is called Finding Fabio. Now, and this has been bought, the show's going on the air. They've got 12 guys who are muscular with long hair. They will be in a romance boot camp, is how they describe this.
What?
And the point of this, they will be judged by women. Well, they would do things like at this romance camp, they will lift bales of hay shirtless. They will...
like the cover of those novels?
And, Mike, the prize is... $50,000, and you get to be on 12 Harlequin romance book covers.
I cannot wait to see the mooks that participate in this.
Well, it's done.
They're judged by women?
Yes, they're judged by women.
Who's the most Fabio look?
Yeah, right.
Like guy? All right.
Looking for Fabio.
Looking for Fabio.
Oh, I gotta wind it up. Let me just
hi,
say this.
This is Wolfgang Jurette from Germany.
Germany
never
news.
Forget.
Robbie, you got
Don and Mike show.
You got some German music for me, please?
You know he does.
Because I know that we're very popular in Germany.
Is it yodeling again, Rob?
Oh, no. This will be our Arnold music.
This is more genuine.
The good old Nazi music.
Oh, no.
Although it's not a Nazi story.
Oh, really? It's not an Arnold story?
Just the music.
I just like saying Germany and Nazi so people don't forget.
All right.
Never forget. German police are investigating gay cannibalism. Now, this is a German phenomenon. It seems really, I mean, take the Nazis out of it.
Gay cannibalism?
A lot of bad stuff originates in Germany.
Seems to be.
I mean, a lot of these crazy stories that we look for...
They come from Germany.
Okay, so it's a 33-year-old guy, piano teacher, found dead in his apartment. They caught the guy that killed him. The guy that killed him is 41. He's a painter. And he confessed to killing the man. And he ate 40 pounds of his body. How did he find the man?
Oh.
Of course, Mike, on a German gay internet chat site.
Oh, boy.
Where he posted the following notice.
Okay.
If you're a male between 18 and 45, you are my man. Come to me. And don't delete me out here, please. And I will eat you whole. He claims to police he's done nothing wrong. He stated in the ad that he wanted to eat the person that he met on the internet.
Oh, my God.
When they searched his home, they discovered body parts in plastic bags that were labeled according to cuts. Bones and other non-edibles were found buried in his garden. And he'd already eaten about 40 pounds of the guy.
Yowza!
And anyway, it's something that's starting in Germany. It's a phenomenon now, and it's called cannibal sex. Thank you again, Germany.
Oh, man, am I queasy. Well, that wrecked dinner.
Thank you again, Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for the cholesterol.
There you go. That's all I got for you from Germany.
Oh, my God, man.
Just remember.
Hi, this is Wolfgang Jurecek from Germany.
Right.
Never forget.
See, the guy took out an ad.
That's Don and Mike show.
He said, I want to do that. And he really did want to do, like, eat them.
God, I wish I wasn't on a protein diet.
But we come back, the Friday favorite, on Thursday. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike show.
So toast them in a 350-degree oven until you can just sort of smell the nuts. And then remove them from the oven and place them on a clean cloth. And notice when I rub the nuts with the cloth, the skins kind of just fall off. I'm going to get the nuts as clean as possible. Every speck doesn't have to come off. But if you rub hard enough, most of the skin will pop right off the nut. This is a simple way to do a lot of nuts in a short period of time.
The Don and Mike Show. Something wacky this way comes. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Every day in Portland, Oregon. On Max 910. And somehow that's repeated into Salem, Oregon on another station that I really don't quite understand. How about in Brownsville, Texas? KBJY. Tampa Bay, Florida, 1010. The Buzz. And Green Bay. WNFL. Station break for you. NFL tomorrow on the show with Rich Eisen from NFL Network. Rich brought to you by Tower Records, Tower.com, where you can find Rockpile. That's this guy, Nick Lowe. I like Nick Lowe. Tower Records, Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower.
You gotta be cruel to be kind.
I forgot to mention. Don't tell me, man. Houston, we were heard on KAKK. Tomorrow we'll have Charlie Casserly, the general manager of your Houston Texans, on.
Charlie Casserly.
Hi,
hello, Don and Mike.
How are you, boys?
How are you?
Great interview, boys. Got to catch a plane.
I can't tell you how many people said to me after hearing Ditka on the show yesterday that they considered it to be a attaboy from Ditka.
It was an attaboy.
Yeah,
it was.
And at the end of our conversation with him, he said, I got to catch a plane. You did a good job.
Yeah. That means a lot coming from him.
In essence, what he's saying was, thanks for not totally wasting my Ditka time.
Yeah, I get that. I suppose I get between the lines that he wasn't bored. Right.
Yeah.
That we asked him enough interesting questions where he had a decent time.
And I'm getting this, where I get most of my feedback from the guys at the Exxon.
There you go.
The guys at the Exxon.
They know.
Wow, Ditka was good yesterday.
They know.
Oh, and listen, they know Martha Stewart's in jail. So listen to this.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you.
We got a special setup.
Time for Don and Mike to play.
All the way. Via satellite in West Virginia.
Yeah.
We're going to now
see if we can get the word out there.
Come in, Martha.
Hello.
Hello, Martha Stewart.
Oh, you caught me. Hold on a second. I'm washing my work shirt in my stainless steel prison toilet. Let me put it down. Hello, is this on?
Yeah, there you go. We got you.
It's my special prison microphone.
I'm very excited about this. Hello, is this Don?
Don and Mike, we're both here.
Good to talk to you. How have you been?
How have you been?
I've been fine. I've decided to serve my sentence and do so earlier so that I can get out in the beautiful season of spring when the vegetables are extra fresh coming out of my garden and when my peat moss is extra gooey. I'm very, very excited about it.
Martha,
I just finished laundering my sheets.
You, Martha, I must ask.
Yes.
Have you found love? You've been in jail in less than a week. Have you found love?
Absolutely. A girl does not kiss and tell. You should be aware of that. But I'd like to promote something if you know I'm a master promoter.
Yeah, you are.
First of all, the feedback and the cards and letters I've been receiving since I've been in this West Virginia female prison, I should tell you, it's overwhelmingly positive.
Has Bill O'Reilly called you?
Bill O'Reilly has called me personally. I understand he'll be visiting soon.
Screw the establishment. Use drugs. Get a gun. Call women bitches, hoes,
okay.
Disrespect everybody,
okay,
and you'll still do okay.
If I could offer a piece of advice to Mr. O'Reilly,
yeah.
Admit your guilt and move on. You can save a fortune in legal bills, but I'm actually going to be coming out with a book as about my prison stay.
Now, this is not a joke.
Wow.
This is
true.
This part is not a joke.
Right.
Martha Stewart has signed a deal that will pay her $5 million for her memoirs. Her memoirs,
mm-hmm,
from jail.
I've got all sorts of interesting things, including my day-to-day activities and simple tips like dressing up a tin dish of tasteless gruel with a mango chutney.
What?
Very good, but I've got samples from my journal if you'd like to hear some.
Oh, I'd love to.
It would probably assist me, and also I'd like to remind everyone, please continue to buy all of my white sale items. They're still being offered up at your local Kmart. Big Kmart. It's a good thing.
Wow. You are totally into your promotion, just
yeah,
like when you were out here among the free and the living.
I have 5 days of journal entries that will make a wonderful read for all of my fans, and even the men in your audience can enjoy this.
Now, is this from your own personal diary, or is this...
These are excerpts from my personal diary that I have not put into pure book form yet. I will rewrite and then rewrite again.
Gotcha.
Making sure they're perfect, but I do have journal entries, and I'll share brief snippets with
okay,
you
good,
if you'd be interested.
Oh, we'd love to hear this.
Day one, up early once again. I think my new friend Maggie is going to show me the prison kitchen today, because she told me she'll show me where she bakes her own bread.
Oh.
Day two, I'm learning more than I could possibly imagine. Maggie has invited me to show the other girls how to make up the perfect cot. And later, we're all going down to the shower room for a community shave. Day number three.
Ooh. Now, hold on a second.
Yes?
Is this regular prison activity you're talking about?
Every day, and I'll tell you, people thought that I'd be scared, and I'd like to point out I'm not scared. I'm looking at it as a learning experience and having myself a wonderful time. Almost as fun as Westport. Day three. Today is the day for my special new hairdo. Maggie has agreed to give me a crew cut with just a bit of a mullet. I think it will be a perfect match for my new work clothes.
Now, I can't see you because we're just speaking to you via satellite.
I can describe it to you.
I cannot picture you with a mullet.
It's my lovely grayish blonde hair,
mm-hmm,
fashioned into a mullet in the back, with a perfect male crew cut up on top. That's what I'm wearing now. And it looks wonderful in my dress blues.
Do you have any prison tats yet?
That comes up later, but I'm thinking about it. That's what I've been considering for the last couple of days. Day four.
Oh, back to the diary.
It's not all sweetness and light, I should tell you this.
Okay, so there's some trouble times ahead?
Tension in the dormitory today.
Oh.
As Maggie and a new arrival named Pat actually fought over little old me.
Oh. Wow.
I never felt more special. Maggie lost a tooth and Pat went to the infirmary, so I guess m'lady is the winner. Tonight, I'll bring her my homemade trophy. Day number five. Things couldn't be going better. I'm learning how to defend myself.
And I'm learning
how to love my sisters. Tomorrow, I might fashion a neck tattoo out of pen ink.
It's a good thing. I'm thinking about putting it on the right side of my neck, just a tiny little daisy, and then a tiny ink tear under my right eye.
Have you thought about...
Sheets have a pitiful thread count, though.
Have you thought about doing that, I know it's kind of passe now, but that barbed wire around the bicep thing?
Oh. Bicep tattoos are out. Neck tattoos are in. I want the whole world to know about my prison experience. You could make a neat fighting ring out of a discarded tin can.
Now,
and all of the tin can fighting rings can have lovely designs on them as well.
How are you getting along with the screws?
The screws, or the guards, or the hacks, as we like to call them, are all very nasty. They're the enemy, and as long as you know that they're the enemy, you can get along with your sisters. The other night, we had a community snuggle in Cot 7.
Now,
it was wonderful. The hacks don't like us to, but when lights go out, we can sneak down. Of course, we've got 40 girls to a room. It's very exciting.
Wow. This is supposed to be a cupcake-type prison where, if you wanted to, in theory, I've heard you... Isn't it one of these, like, prison without walls thing? Or, I mean, there's a wall, but there's...
No, cupcakes are a very large part of the prison food. We make cupcakes continuously. As a matter of fact, all sorts of baking is encouraged. But there seems to be a never-ending supply of yeast.
You, if you wished,
yes,
could at an opportune moment walk right out. I mean, of course, it would be the dumbest thing you could ever do, but you could walk out of this jail.
Maggie has threatened me with death if I walk out before my sentence is over. Mm-hmm. Maggie would like me to stay in prison for as long as she's here.
How long is Maggie going to be in?
Maggie had some low-level crime activity that she's going to be in for 16 to 18 months. And, of course, I'm going to be out in 5. Mm-hmm. I do what I need to get by, and I give the world for a fingernail brush. It's a good thing.
Now,
but I've decorated my little area around my cot as only I can.
What'd you do?
Unfortunately, though, the blankets and sheets are government issue, and I'm not able to spice it up with my own personal touch. But I try to make my cot as neat as anyone's. It's a bunk bed, you know. The other night, my very first night, I went through initiation. I fell asleep, and the other girls decided to tie me down to the bed and put soap in the socks. I screamed in agony.
It's almost like a private pile thing.
That's exactly what it was
like. You ever see Full Metal Jacket?
I'm a big fan of Stanley Kubrick. It's a good thing. Private pile. Is that a jelly donut in your footlocker?
So they gave you a little lateral rub-a-dub.
Yes, but of course it was just very brief. Not as intense as in the movie. Could you mail me a cake with a dust ruffle baked in it? Please. Or just send me some bran muffins with doilies individually folded into the batter.
Have any of your celebrity friends called or visited, like Puffy Combs or Donald Trump?
Quite unusually, I have
Regis.
I've been totally ignored since I've been in this situation, and I'm slightly depressed, but I've made all of my new prison friends, like Pat and Maggie and Slick. All the girls from A League of Their Own. We've had a wonderful time. We really have.
The Rockford Peaches.
That's, as a matter of fact, we've divided ourselves up into the Peaches. Rockford, Racine. I just won. One call is the only one that I've received.
Yeah.
Tom Sizemore. He called me to wish me the very, very best of luck.
Did he beat you up over the phone?
No, he didn't beat me up. He was very sensitive. It seems that he'll be going away soon, and he wanted to commiserate with me. But I'm very happy to chat with anybody who'd like to talk to me. But I can also be very content with all of my gal pals right here in the penal institution.
Now, you mentioned, who's the one that you're married to?
The one that I'm married to is Maggie.
Maggie now?
Maggie M.
Are you the...
He used to be married to Charlie M. But unfortunately, his head was put in a vice and his eye was popped out, killing him instantly.
Charlie M?
Charlie M, yes, that's it. Maggie M. But then she changed her ways once she's been through the correctional facilities of this fine nation.
So now you're in a West Virginia prison with Maggie M. You are married to her after a week. Are you the husband?
West Virginia, where the state flower is a satellite dish.
Are you the husband or the wife?
I am most definitely the submissive in this relationship. But it doesn't matter when you find a true friend like Maggie.
Right.
Maggie has taught me things that Martha never knew before.
Like what?
You couldn't even learn them in the bowels of New York City. I've been considering hormone therapy. After I get my neck tattoo, I'm going to fashion a play mustache out of the extra threads that slip off the blankets that we have in the wintertime. We get extra. And I'll make a little mustache for myself. I would say by the end of my visit, I'm going to try to resemble Mike Ditka myself. I'm very excited about it.
So you actually want to become a man?
No. That would be foolish. Of course, I'll have to change my appearance when I get out in the spring. But for now, I'm really finding all of these experiences to be quite liberating.
Now, you mentioned shaving in the shower.
Community shave.
Have you let your armpit hair go?
We let the armpit hair go. We let the leg hair go. We, of course, color in very, very dark, like Elvis Presley color, our arm hair. But there's one area that we like to keep tidy.
Okay, understood.
I won't go into great details, but my stainless steel toilet has no seat to speak of. Chilly. Oh, so chilly. You'd think that they could provide for just one tiny little seat. I almost fell in. I'm not as big as I used to be.
Now, how is
But your stainless steel toilet seat can be used for a variety of things. Right now, I'm using it as a planter.
Now, do you wear the do-rag when you go out in the yard with the other cons?
Do you have a picture of me? I'm wearing my crew cut with my do-rag. It accents the mullet quite nicely.
Sure. Do you lift weights and chain smoke cigarettes and get contraband on the black market?
No weightlifting for me. Unfortunately, it would damage my hands. My hands are the key. In fact, the girls here say my hands are the best on the entire floor.
Now,
of the dormitory, don't you know?
Your husband, Maggie, is she the muscle now that protects you?
Maggie has protected me from all advances from all the other girls. But because I've been in here so long now, I've learned to accept the lifestyle and enjoy my time with all the girls, and you find you don't need protection when you're a sisterhood, which is exactly what we are. It's a good thing.
You ever find it funny that you're in a women's prison, yet it's a penal institution?
Much fun ensues when we discuss that. I've also become quite adept at using my own feet. Feet can be used for a variety of things.
In what regard?
Writing, cleaning. Forgivingly sorry.
Be careful.
I'm terribly sorry.
Be careful.
Pleasure finds itself in a variety of ways, though, Don.
I understand.
A good pancake can offer a lot of pleasure.
A what?
A good pancake.
Oh, a good pancake.
A good muffin. A neatly done house. A beautiful window treatment.
And feet.
The right carpeting.
And feet.
The right feng shui. Mm-hmm. Pleasure can be derived in so many ways.
And feet.
Feet give me pleasure. More pleasure than you know. But although I have a soon-to-be-arriving neck tattoo, a crew cut with a mullet and a do-rag, it doesn't prevent me from keeping my nails perfectly trimmed and manicured. I'm also wearing a traditional black and... I'm also wearing a traditional today black and white striped outfit. I actually look like a blonde version of the Hamburglar.
With a crew cut and a mullet.
With a crew cut and a mullet. It's wonderful and it's a good thing. But I still manage to find time to correspond with my fans. You know, a prison shiv could also be converted into a lovely ink pen.
Martha, we're going to play Low Budget Jeopardy now. We have a champion from Spokane, Washington.
And I seal all of my correspondence with my wax seal. Only in the prison we use earwax.
Now, we need one challenger at 877-365-3636. What, did you say ow?
Oh, fudge.
What's wrong?
Oh, it just moved.
Well, what moved?
The iron ball chained to my ankle.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Attention! Attention, Nils is dead.
I repeat, Nils is dead, fuckhead. So is his pal. And those four guys from the East German All-Stars, your boys out of the bank,
they're gonna be a little late.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hello! La la la! The Don and Mike Show.
Hello! Come in, Martha, in jail.
I'm here. We have to finish quickly. It's almost time for lights out. And, of course, my daily inspection. I've been having one bit of trouble every day.
Now, that's like the female equivalent of the turn your head and cough, right?
No. I do my own checking. But I've had a little problem here at the penal institution. The rashes.
Oh my.
I'm not sure where they originate. But it's very, very frustrating.
You're probably surrounded by fungi.
I believe there is no shortage of bacteria on the dorm floor. My escape will be imminent.
Wow.
I've never tried to make a roof out of hair before.
Let's play Low Budget Jeopardy.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is our challenger, a psychiatrist person from Las Vegas. Let's say hi to Sandy Clark.
Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
Odd Sandy is a girl, Sandy.
And now entering the studio is our champion. Our champion has a total of $102 from Spokane, Washington. Let's say hi to Scott Logsdon.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Martha. Hi, LQ.
Hey, Scott, being our returning low-budget Jeopardy champion, how has it changed your life, my friend?
Well, this weekend I've been invited to Boston to receive a sensual full-body massage from Carl Yastrzemski, so things are going well.
Thanks. And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy.
I remember that one.
Sandy and Scott, don't screw with LQ. And say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Martha. And Sandy and Scott, here you go. Here are your categories, and they are guests this week on the Don and Mike Show.
I wish I could listen, but they forbid me to have a transistor radio in my prison sheets.
Last night's debate.
Oh, the debate. How's it going?
How have you been? These late night TV talk show hosts failed.
There is no late night in the joint.
Because you understand that there's like a shuffle now that Conan is getting Jay Leno's job and Letterman might be leaving. Anyway, it's like a look back at who's failed.
I'm glad to regale them with my prison love story.
This week's starting NFL quarterbacks.
Oh, poo. Pshaw.
And courtesy of Blockbuster, the all-time top movie rentals.
What are they again, Lord Quizmaster?
Here you go. Guests on the show.
Yes.
Last night's debate.
Rope.
These
rope,
TV
rope.
Talk show hosts suck. This week's starting quarterbacks and the top movie rentals of all time. Sandy, you're a girl. We'll start with you.
How about guests?
Our guests on the show this week. And this is good because it's our only Thursday.
I'd kill my sainted mother for a cigarette.
Guests on the show this week. She is Mama Partridge.
I'm trying to remember her name.
Yeah, Scott, it's your chance to steal.
Shelley Winters?
Who is Shirley Jones?
There you go. That's an insult to Shirley Jones, darling.
She wouldn't last a day in here. All right, Scott, select
that,
again.
That mini-skirted mom?
She wouldn't. Even at her advanced age, she'd be mincemeat.
Okay, here we go. Guest for two on the show this week. She is at large, honey.
I don't know.
Sandy, your chance to steal.
Martha, I don't know. That large in your studio
darling,
right now.
Darling, Wanda Sykes.
Scott, you're still in control.
Wanda, I guess for three.
Large in charge.
Oh,
for three. Here we go. He can change the weather with his mood.
Who is Mike Ditka?
Ditka, correct.
$3 for you, Scott. You have a commanding lead, and we're just at the get-go stages.
Yes,
failed talk show host for one.
Okay. Martha?
Yes.
What are you doing right now?
What am I doing?
I can't see you, so I want to know what you're doing while you're talking into the microphone.
I'm jotting down your scores for Low Budget Jeopardy with my prison pen as I fashion a rope out of hair. Mine and others.
Where's your husband?
My husband Maggie is down at the reformatory.
Now, does your husband ever come around during this time of the day? I mean,
yes. I could call Maggie.
Would you?
Yes. Maggie.
Oh. Maggie.
Maggie's very shy and very large.
Oh, is she?
Would you like to know the celebrity that Maggie most resembles?
I'd die to.
Warren Sapp. I love my Maggie. She's good to me.
Here we go.
I'm down with that.
Scott, you wanted the TV show that failed, right?
Yes, sir.
But, of course, none of us are down with OPP.
let me see. Canceled late night TV talk show host. She was on Fox.
Who's Roseanne?
Negative.
Sandy, your chance to steal.
On Fox?
Guys.
No.
Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers on Fox.
And oh, who watches her?
Scott, you're still in control. Ooh,
not
that
for
might
two,
have
please.
Been a violation.
Well, that's why it was canceled. We'll let her go this time.
She doesn't have any money whatsoever. We'd chew her up if she was here.
She's going to say, that's the hard prison life coming out of you, Martha.
Absolutely. Be as tough as you can. I was a tough businesswoman.
Okay, for two, canceled late night show. He was on Fox.
Who is Arsenio Hall?
No. Andy, your chance to steal.
Michael Jordan?
That was not in the form of a question, and
who is Michael?
Oh, you silly girl. When did Michael Jordan ever have a talk show?
Never.
Or are you thinking of the other colored fellow, Magic Johnson?
Johnson.
Yeah.
I see you're still racially controversial.
They all look the same, right? No, I was thinking of the white devil, Chevy Chase.
And Scott, you're still in control.
I'll finish it up for three, please.
All right. Now, this is a hard one. This is a really hard one. But you have to remember, this guy did get a shot on ABC.
Not a clue.
Sandy, your chance to steal.
Can you please repeat the question, Quizmaster?
No. No, no, I can't. You'll never get it anyway. It was Rick Dees.
Rick Dees.
Don't you remember when Rick Dees had a late night against Johnny Carson on ABC?
Mm-hmm. It's called Into the Night.
Into the Night with Rick Dees.
He was like a wonderful man. He reminds me of some of the girls here on the dorm floor.
Scott, you're still in control. Scott.
Let's try NFL quarterback for one.
All right, starting this week for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Who is Brian Greasy?
Right.
$1 for you, Scuddy.
Right, he's killing you here. Scott, for two, starting this week for your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Who is Roethlisberger?
Give me a first name. I'm just trying to give the girl a chance.
Well, here she goes. I'm sure she'll know. Sandy, your chance to see you.
He's big.
Never seen football, sorry.
Ben. Big Ben. Ben Roethlisberger.
Scott, you're still in control.
For three, please.
And you should have had that. Give him the $2. He had the thing. I was just trying to help out the girl.
$2 for Scotty. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
He's got a 7-0 lead.
All right, he's quarterback for your Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, who is McCown?
Wow, if she gets the first name, I'll give it to her. Otherwise, he gets it. Any idea, Sandy? Just take a guess.
Bob.
Bob McCown? No.
Bobby.
Not Bob McCown. Josh McCown. Give that man his money.
$3. Never heard of him.
$3 for you, Scott, and you're still in control. Time to move on to another category.
All-time top rentals for one, please.
Okay. Thank you, Blockbuster Video, for supplying this. These are the all-time top movie rentals in the United States since they've been keeping records in Blockbuster. For one, this is the most rented movie in the history of Blockbuster. It was released in 1997.
What is Shrek?
Sandy, your chance to steal.
What is Titanic?
Ooh, very nice.
I got one.
$1 for Sandy.
Wow.
Congratulations. You've scored.
Finally.
You've scored. And it's good to score. It's a good thing.
Very good.
Sandy, you're in control. Select again.
Same category.
Same category,
two,
yeah.
Duh.
This is the number two most rented movie in United States history, released in 1977.
What is The Big Chill?
No.
Scott, your chance to steal.
What is Star Wars?
Right, oh. That's using your noodle, Scott.
$2 for you, Scotty.
Finish it up for three, please.
Okay, this is the number three most rented movie in U.S. history, released in 1982.
What is Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh. That's a good guess.
Sandy, your chance to steal.
What is...
Wow. You're putting such a great effort. I know the one that we rent more than anything else at the institution.
What's that?
Jackie Brown.
Little thing you may have heard of called E.T., the extraterrestrial.
Oh, poo.
Oh.
All we watch is Jackie Brown.
The last category now is last night's debate. Hope you watched it. And here you go. Scott, he was the gifted moderator.
Who is Charles Gibson?
Oh!
Sandy, your chance to steal.
No idea.
Wow.
There's a shock. Bob Schieffer.
And Scott, you're in control.
Debate for two.
Color of tie worn by George Bush.
What is red?
Right, he didn't wear his lucky blue.
$2, President, wear red.
And for three, please.
Okay, final question on the big board. Color of dress or dress suit or whatever it was worn by Teresa Heinz Caddy.
What is white?
Sandy, your chance to steal.
What is yellow?
Wow.
Of course.
One of the worst players of all time.
But she's made it through. She had on a red frock last night.
And that's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Yes, it is. And let's see. Oh, who's got what, Martha?
All right. Scott finishes with $14. Sandy finishes with $1.
Yay! All right, guys. This is a final Low Budget Jeopardy. We physically force you both to bet it all, so good luck. And here is your category. It's Dance Fever. According to a nationwide poll of mobile/party DJs, in 2002, this is the most requested after-wedding dance song. Okay, so nothing like that dumb Peter, Paul, and Mary, This Is Love.
At the reception.
At the reception, when the couple comes out to dance, this, in America, was the number one most requested song at weddings last year. I answer in the form of a question at Good Luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy who received copies of Jailhouse Martha, my collection of delicious prison recipes. Jailhouse Martha has all the good things offered by the Federal Corrections Department, but just a little tweaking by me. These high carbohydrate, high fat, low moisture foods, from meatloaf with a ketchup reduction sauce to powdered milk pasta and baked chicken with a lime jello sauce fashioned out of simple tap water. It's a good thing. Now back to final Low Budget Jeopardy.
That's delicious.
Oh, yes.
You know, as far as your diet goes...
Oh, I've ballooned. I've ballooned.
Really?
I heard that they had, like, you mainly on a protein and fish diet.
Yes. How did you know? But it's usually fried fish. Yes, or raw fish.
Okay.
I get the scraps I get in the kitchen.
I didn't know you get sushi in there.
Yes, we have lots of sushi every night.
Sushi. Gotta say it like a DJ, sushi.
Does she ever eat any roast beef?
Only if it's extra rare.
Okay. Sandy is
Rob.
Sandy's first.
How are you, Rob?
Very well.
How have you been?
Sandy's first. Sandy, let's see.
Boar's head.
Nationwide poll of mobile party DJs. This is the most requested after-wedding dance song by Americans in 2002. Darling, any idea? Sandy?
Sandy, pay attention. Focus, please. Please, you have difficulty with that.
I put, what is Brick House?
No, not even in the top three, although congratulations on formulating an answer. Let's go to Scott.
Oh, my, dum-dum.
Scott, if you got the answer, you're the big wiener.
What is Monet Monet?
No. Are you ready for this?
I think I can guess. May I guess?
Sure.
Celebration.
Negative.
No.
Number one is Electric Boogie. Electric Boogie Slide by Marcia Griffiths. Is that the girl's name? The number two most played song at weddings when they say, now let's dance.
Okay.
YMCA.
Wow.
And number three, Love Shack.
Love Shack by the B-52s.
Yeah.
Oh, way to go, Chowderhead.
Listen, the late Alan Linewand would have loved this game with his new promotion because we're not giving away any money today. Todd Hughes will love it because we're not giving away any money.
Yes.
Martha, please tell these guys what they want. Oh, listen, Scott, don't go away mad. Just go away. Same to you, Sandy. Now here is the lovely Martha Stewart.
Thanks, guys.
And may I say to Sandy, I'm captivated by your giggle.
First hey, don't you guys remember signing my cleavage in Sacramento?
Yes, it's a good thing.
Good thing.
Sandy and Scott, both of you have won the complete first season of HBO's The Wire.
She wanted us to sign her brain, but we couldn't write small enough.
Now on DVD, a gritty, electrifying new breed of cop show. HBO, The Wire. Congratulations to both of you, and thanks for playing the game.
Thanks, guys.
Love you guys.
All right. Thank you both.
Love you, Sandy.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Enjoy. And, eat some brain food.
Martha, now let's see.
Here I am behind bars.
It's almost lights out time, isn't it?
Lights out. That's when the real prison fun begins. Yes, Zaria. I've learned how to...
Hold on.
Yes.
What, is she still on the line?
Yeah. She's still babbling.
What are you saying, Sandy?
I was telling Miss Martha there that if I was there, I'd be all over her.
Well, vice versa.
I thought I'd put that on there now.
Yeah. Lights up where I have to learn to crawl on the floor on my belly.
Martha, yes. Always remember, never forget.
It's a low-budget Jeopardy in production of...
Goron Incorporated. It is distributed by King World. He covered my incarceration so fairly. I was pleased. I was pleased. I love him. I love him. I kind of like Mike, but I don't like you, Don Geron. You're trouble with a capital T.
How are you holding up female-wise? You understand what I'm saying.
Oh, it's difficult.
Is it tough?
The same maintenance procedures that I did on the outside cannot be followed expertly here in the joint. But I do my best. Unfortunately, I'm only provided with one face cloth a day.
Mm.
I'll be out in 5 cycles.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
A cycle a year?
Once a year. No need to worry about that any longer.
I was going to say, I don't think...
That was your big-headed boy over there.
You'd be lucky if that...
No, it doesn't happen. No, don't happen no more.
You'd be lucky if that well gave you an ounce of oil.
I'm trying to learn street speak, too. I'm not down with that.
Are you down with OPP?
Oh, big time. That's why I'll be using my fingers doing the walking a little later.
What is your lead story on the news and comments?
Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Martha.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I must go bye-bye pretty soon. Almost lights out time.
Bye, pretty lady.
What's your lead story, Buzz?
Today, Bill O'Reilly's no spin zone goes spinning out of control.
Oh, now let me tell everybody, stay tuned for some graphic Buzz explanation.
Ooh, very, very interesting. So, oh, dear.
What?
Maggie skipped her shower again.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Martha's been great.
Extra humidity on the dorm floor this evening.
Don't forget that this has all been very...
Bye, everyone.
Professional.
She's gone.
Professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Krepa?
The Don and Mike Show.
They're garbage cans,
yeah.
Don and Mike.
Tomorrow on the show, Sylvester Stallone's crazy mother, Jacqueline Stallone.
Yeah, Jacqueline Stallone.
And her dogs are psychic. They'll predict the election tomorrow.
Very exciting.
Bless tomorrow with Charlie Casserly from the Houston Texans, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Monday, crazy Mark Cuban. Some of the stuff coming up on the show. Two quick sidebars, radio-related first. Shame on you, WQSR in Baltimore. You didn't,
no movement on that front, huh?
Didn't hire Big Don O'Brien back yet. And I don't know what they're doing. And second, I was pleasantly surprised this morning when I turned on the Channel 5 Nitwit News.
Yeah.
Mainly because I like watching the hyperactive poodle, you know, Holly Morris.
Sure.
And who's on TV at 8:30 this morning? Ron and Fez.
Live?
Yeah, cool.
Boys never sleep.
Talking about the debate.
Wow.
And it was a great, funny segment.
That's
and
good.
Hats off to Ron and Fez.
Congratulations.
However, here you go now. I've got to be honest. They are, they're handsome like we're handsome.
Yes, of course. Yes, and, we all belong in radio.
And Ron Bennington looked the way that he looks here every day.
All right.
Fez Watley also looked the way that he looks every day, except
he's different lately. He looks like a survivalist.
Yeah, he didn't have the house coat on that he normally has here.
Right.
But he's got the beard happening.
He's got the Vish beard.
It's like worse
out.
It's worse than Rupert from Survivor.
I mean, Fez has a heavy beard, and it's growing daily.
And it's just big. It's not ZZ Top big.
No, it's Mountain Man big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nobody on Channel 5, none of those nimwits, and our friend Gravier was there.
Oh, Gravier Denzel.
Yeah, she didn't do the interview with them. They got that awful Michael Gregolio.
Who is that?
Yeah, the guy that's got the world's biggest mouth. I mean, literally not because he speaks a lot. It's big with the teeth and, hey, I'm here with Ron and Fez, radio funny man.
When you saw Ron and Fez, did you immediately adjust the color on your set?
Ron was ashen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As always.
Uh-huh, yeah. Right.
I'm betting he pulled an all-nighter.
Yeah, well, you know, it's easier to stay up than get up.
And, hold on a second. This is interesting.
What?
From our station in Baltimore. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, first of all, I want to say I'm a big Don fan, and I was appalled to hear what they did. And when you guys were just talking about them, they the station up here in Baltimore like potted you down, and then ran like a station promo like totally over top of you for about 15 or 20 seconds.
Okay. Hold on, just to make sure that this is something that's happening. Here's Eric also from Baltimore. Eric, you hear that too?
Yeah. As soon as you said Don O'Brien, they started turning the volume down. They went, then they went.
Please, guys.
And listen, guys, don't start this game. If any of you Infinity guys want to bring this up with me, you know, it's not like I'm not spending all day every day talking to you anyway. Mm-hmm. Give me a call. I think you made a mistake by firing a Baltimore legend.
Yeah, right.
And all
but
I
then,
said...
Now this isn't going to be heard either.
Well, they can't keep deleting out the whole show in Baltimore.
Who knows?
It's a great town.
God damn.
Oh, come on. God.
Wow. Now, address this.
That's weak.
Whether you fire the guy and rehire him or not,
right.
Don't take away my, I forget which amendment right it is, but I do have a right to say the guy is my friend. He didn't deserve to be fired. Give a second thought to hiring the guy back.
Absolutely. Boy, is it that big a deal?
Amendment.
I guess it is. I guess it is internally at Live 105.
Man.
Although it's got to be coming from... the other station. I can't. Oh, see, this is the problem, though, when one radio station is owned
in the same building.
Is owned by the same company,
right.
And there's like eight radio stations in one building. There's
right.
No, like, one person. Here's another confirmation. Jesus, please don't do this. Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, they did it, all right. This is Mike from Baltimore. I was listening on 105.7, and as soon as you said QSR, they went down. I had to crank my volume up, and I barely heard them. And
sounds like
an angry GM running into a studio.
Listen, Live 105, knock it the frig off.
Wonder what they're doing now.
The guy's my friend. I think you screwed him. I think the right thing to do is to hire the guy back, or at least call the guy up. And I know nothing about what's going on with that situation.
Okay.
Just think the guy is a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Jesus. Yeah. So don't delete us out, for goodness sakes. Because as I mentioned yesterday, unlike Brian and O'Brien, Mike and I are a team. And if I keep going at this and they fire me for it, they fire him too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mike, let's move to Buzz.
Yes, shall we?
Hi, Don and Mike.
I wonder how Bill O'Reilly feels about Big Don.
O'Reilly, O'Brien, so many O's, O'Mara.
Because follow me and smoke weed, take pills, drop out of school, kill people and drink.
There you go.
I want food. I want beer. I want porn movies. I want internet games. I want to cut people's heads off.
Yes, anyway, Bill O'Reilly's in the news, Buzz.
And there you go. And because they are so sanctimoniously self-righteous, that's what makes it fun to put guys like Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly through the shredder when the truth comes out. Guys who make their livings playing superhuman turn out to be just human, or worse. Rush was a pillhead. O'Reilly is now accused of being a horn dog to the sexual harassment degree. Yesterday, we told you he was suing an associate producer and her lawyer, accusing them of trying to extort $60 million to keep quiet. Today, we've heard what it was they were allegedly offering to keep quiet about. And today, we'll tell you about the accusations of Fox News producer Andrea Macris.
I'm a karma kind of guy. I'm an Eastern kind of guy, a wind chime kind of guy.
Andrea says that when she broke up with her fiancé, Bill advised her to get a battery-powered adult toy and to use it. She quotes him as saying, "Just use your vibrator to blow off steam." Andrea says that when she blushed, he said, "What, you've got one, don't you? Every girl does." "Does your wife?" she asked. "Yes, in fact, she does," answered O'Reilly, she says. "She'd kill me," O'Reilly's quoted as saying, "if she knew I was telling you." Good advice, perhaps, but not from your boss, especially if you're trying to talk with him about advancing your career, which is what Andrea says she was trying to do. Over their 2 years of working together, Andrea says Bill told her lots of things she didn't want to hear.
"I am so senile, I don't know what I'm talking about."
She says Bill told her about how he'd helped another woman at Fox learn to use the device by talking dirty to her over the phone. O'Reilly then supposedly told Andrea it was that phone encounter that helped this woman to her first happy ending. Andrea says Bill's eyes, and I quote, "became glazed and bizarrely strayed in opposite directions" as he told her this.
"I'm an incompetent boob. Please, you know, replace me."
And Andrea says she told Bill she didn't want to hear it. But she says he also told her of losing his virginity to two Swedish stewardesses at JFK Airport.
Baby.
Wow.
Graphic descriptions of sex shows he'd seen in Thailand. And about the little brown woman in Bali who was amazed at his endowment.
You're going to fail in life.
Oh, dear.
Bill allegedly told Andrea about his fantasy involving him, her, the Caribbean, a hot shower, and, quote, "a little loofah thing."
As they say in the hood, I'm down with that.
Andrea was a journalism major, and she says she got most of this down in notes or on tape, like the time Andrea had dinner with a female friend from college, and Bill tagged along, allegedly suggesting the three of them get a room where they could, quote, have the time of our lives.
Man, I'm close to going toe-to-toe with this whore.
He said he could train them so they'd be ready when, quote, a real man shows up in your lives.
God.
He reportedly told them he was going to the Vatican to meet the Pope and hoped to hook up with some hot Italian broads because his pregnant wife was staying home with their daughter.
Oh, yeah.
The
wow.
Young
now, again, you know.
You never know. I mean, you don't know whether you really. I mean, it's a legend.
That's right. Anybody can sue anybody. This broad can say anything.
That's right.
Here's
this is from her lawsuit, but you're right.
Here's where the rubber meets the road. If she had an audio tape of these conversations, then, I mean, it's a slam dunk.
It's a slam dunk from a PR standpoint, but not necessarily from a legal standpoint.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's sexual harassment.
Right.
I don't know all of the details.
And, you know, the only thing I was thinking, you know, with when you work here, and I'm sure that there's similar policies in place at Fox,
yep.
It would seem to me that, you know, that there really is that chain of command. One of the things that, that you know, our videotapes and our hours of training where they say, you know, you report this, and she never, I guess the claim by Fox is she never did report this to a superior.
And then she went back, to work and got it all going again, allegedly, and that's when she did it. You know, guys, I'm really not trying to screw this Bill O'Reilly story up, but now apparently we're off the air in Baltimore. How could this be?
Wow.
Rodney?
Yes, Don and Mike.
What are they doing? Because I've got a million calls here that are all screened.
When you guys, the first time when you started talking about them, they turned it down and ran a promo.
Yeah.
And then when you commented on it again, they went right to some kind of beer commercial. And you just came back on like 4 seconds ago.
Oh, so we are back on.
You're back on now, but they went through like a 2-minute commercial.
Oh, you've missed all the good Bill O'Reilly stuff.
You know, okay, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm not going to lose my cool on the air about this. But trust me, Phillips.
Yeah, behind the scenes, look.
Phillips or whoever it is that's pulling the plug on this, you freaking knock it off. Freaking knock it off.
Don and Mike, you rule.
Jesus Christ. You say a guy's name, you say call letters. That's all I said.
Right. That's it.
That's all I said.
And the you know, we got the good Bill O'Reilly stuff now.
Yeah, all right, I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, I'm glad to know that.
That really just gives me the red ass.
Sure. Okay. And you don't want that.
It really does. I want the white ass. On occasion, I want the brown ass, but only if I'm nude sunbathing.
Stop it. I don't have to take that anymore.
Anyway.
Yes, about Bill.
About Bill, because there's plenty more. Oh, and Bill?
God, I'm senile here.
The young reporter's notes include an entry for August 2nd of this year when Bill had two porn actresses on his show. Andrea says this got Bill worked up and that he called her afterward and started the dirty talk.
More. So if I said I never did drugs, that would mean I lie.
More talk about toys, apparently. Again, Bill supposedly advised Andrea to get one, a toy, and name it. She says he told her that he has one with batteries that was given to him by another woman. Andrea says she realized Bill was really enjoying the conversation, and when he was finished, thanked her and switched to bragging about his recent appearance on The Tonight Show.
So in essence, listen, there's a lot that we can't read, and we have to have Buzz presented because of
exactly.
This. Our company's not crazy
Andy,
enough.
But I have to be careful.
But we've got the FCC, but what happens is, according to her, he has a happy ending, and then when the happy ending is done, the next thing he says is, hey, wasn't I great on The Tonight Show?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon.
I'm sorry I raped that lady.
I don't think so either. O'Reilly denies all of this and says lots of celebrities get false accusations from gold diggers. What, asks O'Reilly, has this country come to? But as Andrea's boss, he's also quoted as saying, I'll make her pay so dearly she'll wish she'd never been born. I'll rake her through the mud, bring up things in her life, and make her so miserable she'll be destroyed. If you cross Fox News Channel, it's not just me. It's Fox President Roger Ailes who will go after you.
If I have leprosy, I want me to be the only one that has.
And that's the end of my story. Well, I would assume that Bill O'Reilly would be the guy that probably likes to talk on air and off air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would assume so.
You got to say innocent before proven guilty.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, we know better than anybody. I mean, you really have to make sure that you get all the facts straight.
And even though we're goofing on it.
Look, I'm going to take drugs if I want to, and I don't care. I don't care.
And
I'm
going to
do exactly what I want to do. And if my little 10-year-old daughter's there when I'm high, I don't care.
But even if we're goofing on him, there's still a part of me like, you know, hey, listen, hold on. This lady may be out for the money.
Absolutely.
It happened. It's entirely possible that he had conversations with her that had nothing to do with it. Now, however, you know, and I guess it's going to be proven. It's not normal conversation in a business atmosphere.
Right.
To say to a woman, you know, hey, hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly, and I've got a love device. You should get one, too.
Well, you know, I would also really be curious about Fox and the Fox Network as far as how they are trained over there, because really, at this place,
we take a lot of training.
Now, we get a lot of training on this. We really do, on how to behave.
Right. Is Westwood One named in this thing?
Yes. The Westwood One network is mentioned many times in the first few pages of the lawsuit.
If he's working for Westwood, I wonder if he ever saw the videotape.
Well, here's the thing. I bet we all have to go through a new sensitivity training.
I'm sure we do.
And I bet we all
Thanks,
have to watch
Will.
New sexual harassment stuff because of Bill O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I smoke marijuana every other day. You know, I'm going to sleep with Trixie tonight.
Okay. That wasn't the producer's name.
What does Big Don think about that?
Joke. Next
call
story.
Call me on the way home, executives.
Yeah, please do. Next
like
story.
You, like you do every night.
500 channels and nothing's on. Three debates and no clear answers or front runners. The presidential race still too close to call, even though Kerry's ahead a bit in the polls and has now been declared the winner of all three debates, even if they were technical victories and not knockouts. More people, however, watched this debate than any of the others, and more people watched the debate than watched baseball.
I stand corrected. You said everybody was going to watch this debate. I can't believe it.
I'm telling you, it's like reality TV, like
right.
never before, that I'm wishing it was on next Wednesday night. It was on the next three Wednesday nights.
Listen to this. These are the only two things on television. In terms of rating shares, the final score, debate 36, baseball 16.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind that's the Yankees-Red Sox.
Right.
So you're talking about
York,
in those two big cities.
Big markets.
And not to mention just regular sports fans like me. I'm watching the game because I'm rooting for Mike's team.
I can only think it's a good thing that the country is really turned on by this election, and I hope that it translates into everybody getting involved, especially when I hear these stories every day about that Buzz has about people trying to suppress the vote, trying to prevent people from being registered. I hope that means even more people go out.
And remember, the people like, according to Jim, my brother, when we did According to Jim Source today,
right.
He is registered to vote.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He will probably, Kerry is not his choice, Bush is his choice.
Right.
Yet, we said, are you going to vote? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. That was what my brother said.
Mm-hmm.
My brother from Wisconsin.
Like a lot of people.
Which incidentally is one of those swing states.
It sure is hell.
A battleground state.
One of the biggest ones.
So I say, Jimmy, normally I say vote this year. Being as you're going to vote for Bush, you're undecided. Stay at home.
Yeah, take a break. I think you'll get your wish.
I know it.
Yeah.
I bet you on that before the Red Sox any day.
A post-game note. Actually, some quotes and something you mentioned earlier. Dick Cheney's wife says Kerry played dirty by calling out their lesbian daughter again in a not that there's anything wrong with it kind of way. Lynn Cheney is calling Kerry not a nice man, quoting her, what a cheap, tawdry political trick.
Now, oh, they're getting now, a little bit listen, desperate with that.
Listen, Lynn, here's the deal. She's your daughter, and you support the fact that she's gay. I've seen you on the Tim Russert show. I've seen both of the Cheneys interviewed where they say specifically, we love our daughter. We support the fact that she's gay. We wish that something would happen to move it the other way, the needle the other way. But we toe the company line.
Mm-hmm.
So the Cheneys have come out themselves.
Right, true.
In essence to say, so we have a gay daughter, we support her. We'd love her to get all the rights that gay people should get. If they're as miserable as straights married together, they should get the same thing. But the thing is, then he's got to say, okay, but I really don't feel that way because my boss doesn't agree with
me. And I didn't say this before, but the one thing I did enjoy in that debate, which I like, I thought Kerry's choice of words and the way he, after he dealt with the Lynn Cheney situation, with the daughter,
Mary, yeah.
With Mary Cheney, I thought it was probably one of the more eloquent explanations of what my position is on that that I've heard. And it was nice to hear a politician say that and not back down from it and not say, I don't know.
He's right to bring it up because it is the absolute problem with Bush. you've got a vice president who has a gay daughter. He supports the gay daughter, yet the guy that he's running with doesn't like gays. I'm dumbing it down, but doesn't want them to even be able to be married.
He talks about respect, but I just thought, you know, as far as, it's the way you look at the issue. And you know, there are people in this country that think that it's, you know, that it's learned behavior, and there are people think that people are born that way, and you know, that's the way it is. And there's a big disagreement on that. But I mean, all you have to do, really, when you talk, they talk about records a lot. You look at the record of certain people and the record of other people, you know where people stand. And it's not hard to do.
As much as I'm not for Cheney, and you know that in Bush, there's a part of me when I watch Dr. Evil, Cheney, when I've watched him speak on this topic,
right,
when I actually see a bit of what appears to be a beating heart
humanity
coming out of this guy, and I feel bad for Dick Cheney, that even though I think he's an ass and he's running the country, he's like Alexander Haig. Listen, the deal is he's got this daughter and he's cool with her. He's not an uptight Republican with his daughter. In real life, he appears to be compassionate, feeling, understanding.
And there are many, many parents across the country that disown their kids when they find something out like
this.
So you got to give them the credit where it's due.
Yes, you do. And then I feel bad for him because on one hand, I know I can see this when I've seen him talk with his wife, how he feels about his daughter, and how he feels about the whole gay thing.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, election or not, you know, your daughter's who you're looking at.
So if you're Carrie, how do you not bring this up to say, listen, hold on, you've got a giant contradiction happening on your own ticket, dude. I don't want to drag the families into it, but the point is, they've been interviewed.
Yeah.
Your vice president doesn't agree with you. He's being a good soldier to toe the line.
Absolutely.
But if you strapped him to a lie detector, he'd be absolutely the other way.
Of course.
Republicans say Kerry only brought this up, only mentioned it again, brought it out again to call attention to that, to try to shake Bush-Cheney's conservative base, to shake up the conservatives who support Bush and Cheney.
I totally disagree
by reminding
that.
Them of the gay daughter.
I don't think so. I think he was. I think it's germane to the argument, and that's why he brought it up. And I think he said what he was doing was he was setting himself up.
My guy,
to give his explanation.
I rarely correct you. It was not Jermaine.
It was Your Majesty?
No, it was Tito.
Well, Mike was just mentioning this. Under the watchful eye of the rest of the world, Florida was planning on having a test vote in Palm Beach County Tuesday, but it didn't happen. A crucial computer crashed just hours before the test. Election officials were quick to point out that this will not affect the computerized voting machines.
Uh-huh.
Quoting one official, it has nothing to do with tabulation equipment.
That's right.
And yet, whatever the problem, it was big enough to prevent even a test of the system. Officials say the crashed computer is used to compare information from the voting machines to, listen up, a predetermined outcome. One lawsuit accuses the system of being unconstitutional.
Start again.
To check the computer to make sure that it counts the votes correctly, they give it a predetermined outcome and see if the computer comes up with what they predicted. I'm frightened to know that they even have a predetermined outcome.
I don't get it.
Yeah. How much you want to bet who the winner is?
It's very strange.
It's a predetermined outcome.
It's very strange.
One lawsuit.
Probably Big Don O'Brien, who was fired by WQSR wrongly.
There we go.
One voter lawsuit accuses the Florida system of being unconstitutional because it doesn't allow a manual recount in close elections. Palm Beach officials now plan to try the test again tomorrow.
Wow.
try the test for the election.
Well, at least they're doing it before the election.
We screwed up 4 years ago.
When we come back,
yes, Buzz.
Homeland insecurity and how the money's being spent.
All right, we'll be back. Thank you, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let them give ye a comedy facial. Don and Mike.
Just so you know, the Weasel program director from the station in Baltimore is called
Chicago.
I don't want to talk to him, but we'll hear from Beth Ann what he had to say.
Hello?
Hey, B.A., so what is it? The program director called you, or did you call him?
I called him.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, my first phone call, he didn't know what I was talking about.
Of course. There you go. Why listen to the radio station when they're deleting out what we're saying?
I think he genuinely didn't know.
Uh-huh.
And then he called to check on it, and I called him back, and he said it won't happen again. It was just a miscommunication.
Well, at least it's fixed.
Right.
Good.
So WQSR should not have fired Don O'Brien and should hire him back.
And that'll get on the air.
What you just said, yes. I'll get on the air.
Good. All right, good.
Okay.
Right. Thank you, B.A.
You're welcome.
Very good.
Bye-bye.
I like B.A. in these situations.
Yeah.
It's kind of matter of fact. Just kind of gets it done.
Way to do it.
I'm telling you, she's the man.
I like that.
She is, and that's a compliment.
Right.
She's the man.
She really does just, unflappable.
She's really good. That's right. She's not unflappable, Mike. I made her cry.
Oh, that's right. Well, you were supposed to.
No, technically.
You made all of us cry.
Technically, I didn't make her cry.
No, you didn't make her. She called crying.
She called crying. So technically, right. I haven't made her cry yet.
Right. But I'm glad that she called crying. Otherwise, I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
That she's like some sort of robotic woman.
Yeah.
She is quite flappable.
Mm-hmm.
She flaps.
Oh, good. Okay. Aren't we all, though?
Oh, I am the most.
I am, too. Flap. Flap.
Hi, Donna Mike. The government agency in charge of airport security.
That's funny. Oh, my microphone's off.
What?
What you just said.
The government
what one of you guys just said.
The government agency in charge of airport security spent nearly $500,000 on unnecessary expenses, according to an internal report obtained by the Associated Press. Most of those expenses are connected to a presidential awards ceremony that included an employee lifetime achievement award in an agency that's only 2 years old.
Oh, my God.
The Transportation Security Agency spent $81,000 on plaques, $1,500 on cheese displays. Cheese has never looked so good. $200,000 on transportation and lodging for the banquet. $2,000 on cake. $3,000 on balloons and signs. And $5,000 on the photographer. The agency also gave bonuses to its executives, an average of $16,000 more in bonuses than at any other government agency.
You know, I got to start calling this feature. Leave the building and get ready to kill somebody. I mean, the news, no offense,
I'm
of course,
not
Buzz.
Sure. Yeah. Now, hold on.
It's not Buzz that's, writing this. I mean, he does write it, but you're not making it up. You're not reporting.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not sure I got a problem with them paying the guys. I'm not sure I got a problem with them bonusing the guys if they're at the top of the people that are basically there to protect us. Get the good people. You pay the good people.
And I do. I agree with you. And so does the Inspector General of the Homeland Security Agency who did this audit. He said, in fact, the lower level employees got screwed because the managers, the executives at TSA, got such big fat bonus.
Okay.
All right.
So there was a big...
Buzz was looking at me like he wanted to kill me.
No, not at all.
There was a big flap over this whole thing.
Yeah, very flap.
Flap. I have a question, Buzz.
Yes.
Was it at least really good cake?
at those prices, I'm guessing it was.
You never know, though.
I hope it was good. I hope there was filling.
You could have mediocre cake, right, Robin? Get overcharged for it?
Oh, my God, and then you're flapped.
Might have been Entenmann's.
just
like from Safeway.
Danish.
Just a box cake.
That was, how much did I say for cake? That was 7 cakes, and the price, $2,000 for the 7 cakes.
No, for $2,000 at Safeway, I think you could get over 2,000 Entenmann's cake.
That's like $275 a cake.
Even Republicans say the agency has gotten bigger than they had expected.
I like cake.
That is a flap, though.
Mm-hmm. This year's shortage of flu vaccine has driven up the price of the stuff.
Oh, I have to stop.
Yes,
my dear,
my sainted mother.
Who's eligible for the
84,
shot.
84 calls. Just a little. 84 years old,
right.
Calls her doctor
mm-hmm.
to say, don't get me a flu shot this year.
Wow.
Wait, he said, get the people that are sick, that are in worse health than me, and calls her doctor to do that. I pass that along because, first of all, that is really the way she is.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they say, well, come in on the 23rd. You have to come in and get it anyway because you're in the high-risk group at 84.
Right.
But it's just, that's the way she does
nice.
Stuff.
Do you think, if there was some type of athletic competition where it couldn't be your strength and size,
mm-hmm.
but... Your mom still does the treadmill every day,
every
right?
Every morning, yeah. Every morning.
Okay. Like in a 400-meter race,
mm-hmm.
you think there's a chance your mom could beat you?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I told you, it irritates me.
I mean, she doesn't need a flu shot.
Right.
I know you've told me.
She needs to. I told her last night, I said, you do. I don't care how, super, Wonder Woman you
but
are. You're 84, but get the damn flu
but
shot.
She's got the energy that doesn't stop. She gets on the treadmill every day.
She called the doctor to say, listen, I know this is the time of year you give me the flu shot. She said, let the other people that really need it have it. I mean, if you don't need it when you're 84.
Wouldn't it be worth it if that doctor, listen, take my flu. My son works in Washington, D.C. If you could give my son...
Give him. He's not well. Sadly, not everyone's like your mother. This year's shortage of vaccines driven up the price of the stuff, but the laws of supply and demand are also what give us the black market.
And, oh, listen, Bob Schieffer. I think I mentioned this earlier. Yes. Bears repeating.
Yeah.
Great.
Good question.
Second question last night.
Blue section.
Out of the blue
absolutely
at the debate. Neither one of those guys had to be prepped for that one.
Not one bit.
And again, I didn't really follow W's response. It was, well, some of it got ruined in England, and then we had some new stuff that we were making, and if you're young and you feel good, don't get a shot.
Yeah, when he does that, sometimes you're waiting for him to go, run! Well, now...
I think it was the wrong virus and the wrong shot and the wrong...
And now some of the little flu vaccine there is now on the black market. In Denver, somebody stole 620 doses from a pediatrician's office, like taking flu vaccine from a baby.
Hey, Tracy, we're going to Vegas.
And Colorado health officials are warning folks to watch out for the counterfeit stuff. They say it has to be kept refrigerated at just the right temperature to be of any use. They say you should avoid any vaccine that costs more than $30. And avoid trying to buy it on the internet. For those of you who are going to try to buy your flu vaccine on the internet.
That's the internet's.
Yeah.
I got mine from Tom Gavin.
In sports, a dog has gotten John Elway in trouble again. The 150-pound Malamute was roaming the streets of Cherry Hills Village, Colorado, while Elway was being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
There's an alligator.
Elway's been cited at least 6 times for the dog's escapades, even though he's just pet-sitting the dog for his ex-wife.
What a drag that is.
Yeah. And finally, a road rage report, kind of.
Okay.
In Motor City, Detroit, along 8 Mile, a carjacker was foiled when he tried to steal a car from someone who'd stopped for gasoline. The would-be victim was a quick draw, pulling out the gas nozzle and squeezing the trigger, showering the carjacker with... in the face with gasoline.
kind of like Kobe Bryant.
Only reversed. And a minister in Richmond, Texas, has been sentenced to anger management classes after biting the police officer who'd stopped him for a traffic infraction.
Amen.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're not the
time. No!
That's it. Oh, hold on. The door's shut. That's a ridiculous sound effect. Anyway, everybody knows we're here.
Everybody.
Now, don't give that up.
Let's see. I don't even know who was on the show today. Was anybody? My brother Jim was on the show today.
Nancy Odell.
Lovely
Nancy Odell.
Nice Jeopardy today. Tomorrow, Jacqueline Stallone. Charlie Cash and Lee Rich Eisen. All the Friday stuff. That's it. Ron and Fez coming up next. I don't know what they're going to do for a show tonight. There's no debate on.
No debate. We'll see.
Probably just dead air.
Dead air tonight. It's fun with them.
Yeah, I know. Robin Fez next on WJFK, also Live 105 and The Buzz of Tampa Bay. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
Guess what?
What?
Chicken tender.
Okay. Have a nice weekend, Rob.
I will.
Cabin. You know, this goddamn... See, that's why the door is useless. Because you know we're still here.
I know.
And this tape never plays.
Great illusion.
I'm here.
I'm over here now.
Thanks for staying 19 extra seconds, Mike.
You know, it's the least I can do. There's no game tonight.
See you tomorrow, buddy.
Bye-bye.
This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.